following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
What are we talking about here? Orgy? Is it a human sacrifice of some kind?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
Fascinating. I can't wait to read it.
It's $14.99 on my website.
Okay.
Plus shipping and handling.
Even if I buy it here?
It ships from somewhere else, doesn't it? And I've been handling it.
Paul Perillo.
Very attractive man. Can fit a whole octopus in his mouth. Sort of an animal magnetism about him.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have any idea what it's like, Tim, to be up to your elbow in a zebra's vagina?
Andy Hart.
What does it make you think of?
I guess it kind of makes me, think of your penis.
Then you get it.
Eric Scalavino.
You know, that is so like you. You call a guy a douche and you get your first museum show out of it.
For now, anyway.
It smells like cabbage on this floor.
That's the smell of dead dreams.
I go to the clubs at night and people are like, hey, who's wearing the coleslaw? You know how hard it is to get laid when you smell like coleslaw?
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh man, they are planning one hell of a party.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, and the stadium is just alive. I mean, everybody's prepping for the first preseason game, fixing seats and putting up video boards and all kinds of stuff.
Shutting down headset communications, according to some opposing coaches.
Well,
opposing.
You know, he's Del Rio, so.
And you know, he's been there 9 years.
It's a long time.
It's pretty goddamn ridiculous.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick's been here. This is his 12th season. Del Rio's ninth. Bill's gone to 4 Super Bowls, won 3 of them, had a perfect season. How does Del Rio even in the same ballpark
the
in terms
is,
of longevity?
You
know, all I know him for is using a lot of water.
When you're in Jacksonville, it's tough. Cause
you don't remember that?
What do you do? I mean,
get a different coach.
I know, but that requires probably paying somebody with a name and they're not willing
doesn't.
To do it.
You can, young coaches can succeed.
Yeah.
I have no respect for him and think he's a smoke and mirrors guy, but Raheem Brock, nope. What's his
Raheem
name?
Raheem Morris.
Raheem Morris is doing a fine job in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I just don't think that
Andy
Wayne
and I
Weaver is
for a long
to,
radio career together.
I don't think Wayne Weaver is willing to put in the work required to vet a new coach.
I don't expect Wayne Weaver to. I expect his GM, his
Absolutely.
President.
Well, I think at the end of the day, when you're doing a head
mediocrity is just okay there.
A head coach.
Maybe you'd have more fans if you went and tried to win.
A head coach job. Really should be the final say should be the owner.
Final
I
say.
I agree. Yeah.
But if you bring three candidates that are cost effective and yet have a potential future, then he can make the final
decision.
All right,
decision. Welcome to Jacksonville Jaguars today. No, welcome to PFW in progress. We'll be here until
I'm going
2
after Vito Stellino with that on the pregame social.
Taking your calls and emails, the Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. And the email address is webradio@patriots.com. And I'll tell you, the
Rachel Nichols here at Gillette Stadium, apparently.
The changes at on the Patriots roster just keep coming. Right now, I think, what do they have, 18 defensive linemen?
21, according
21
to...
21 now?
Well, depending on how you want to view all of those sort of hybrid players, 21.
Wow. And
Eric Moore, defensive lineman. Jermaine Cunningham, defensive lineman. Marcus Morrell. Defensive lineman.
I guess you could call them that.
21.
I'm looking at Cunningham now as more an outside linebacker.
You shouldn't.
As well as Eric Moore.
I haven't seen him play without his finger on the ground.
Heading into training camp, I would agree with you, Freddie. Yeah. But based on what we've seen through the first 10 days or so here, they've been up front playing defensive end. They're no different in size.
I wouldn't include Morrell in that. I've seen him play some linebacker.
Yeah, you're right about that. He has played a little bit of both. But in terms of size, Mark Anderson, Andre Carter, Jermaine Cunningham,
not much difference.
No.
Nope.
And what would you say is the reason for all of this? I mean, is it just that they don't know who's going to be on this roster? They have no idea right now, you know, as opposed to just bringing in camp bodies? Or do you think they have a good idea of who's going to make the roster?
I do not think they have a great idea, and I also don't think they have a great idea what they're going to do. I think there's still a chance we could see a variety of defenses, and some of it will be decided upon who can play and who can play what.
And I do think what they are doing is going after the areas where there is talent available. Obviously, there are very few people on the earth who can play the 3-4 outside linebacker the way Bill wants them to. So he's going after the positions that are readily available, which is defensive linemen, defensive tackles, some 4-3 defensive ends, stockpiling those, and like Andy said, giving themselves the option of what they want to do.
And these guys have all been good at some point. Some more recently than others. You know, Mark Anderson was a while ago, but Carter 2 years ago, Haynesworth 3 years ago, Sean Ellis, depends who you ask
against
how
the
well.
Patriots
well,
last year.
Certainly against the Patriots.
But he had an awful year.
Some people believe he had a pretty bad year, but I mean, he was great 03, 04 as a pass rusher and is a pretty consistent, proven guy.
Yeah, 23 and a half sacks combined in 03 and 04. Since then, his numbers have steadily dropped. But I think that's the best signing out of all of them. I think that he is a professional, hardworking guy with the versatility to play in three and four man fronts, has played in many systems. I think you're probably going to get the most out of him immediately. Now, maybe as the season goes on, he's 34 years old. And they gave him a little bit of money, which I was a little surprised at this stage of his career. $4 million is a lot.
Yeah, it is.
That's a lot. I mean, they outbid, you know, all comers for him. Yeah. No question. But I like that move a lot.
Now, he's technically on PUP right now.
Correct.
Hasn't taken the conditioning test or has?
Correct. I believe he has not.
Okay.
I have no idea.
And he's coming off hip surgery?
Apparently.
I didn't know that either.
I read that somewhere. I didn't know that until I don't know if that's fact.
Yeah. But I hear despite all that, he's fine and he'll be back soon.
Yeah, I think the PUP is strictly a formality.
Right. Well, if he's coming off surgery, that's PUP. That I didn't know that he was coming off surgery.
Yeah,
I hadn't read that.
I think I might have read it on Ian Accurate.
I'm not sure I would believe it.
I read that story and didn't read anything about hip surgery, but I might have glazed over it.
Yeah, I didn't read the story. I read it on the tweets.
Oh, well.
So. All right, Web Radio.
Therein lies the problem.
Web Radio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398. Gerard Warren is back in the fold. Were you surprised at that?
No.
No?
A little bit.
I was surprised in the way it all unfolded that they signed Marcus Stroud, cut Marcus Stroud, and then 5 days into camp or whatever signed Gerard Warren. I thought it would be automatic last whenever, just sign Gerard Warren.
That's why I was surprised that
he
was
back. Long road to grandma's.
They went through all that, so I figured, oh, well, they've decided, you know, they bring in Haynesworth, the Mark Anderson guy before Warren, and I figured, well, they must feel like they don't want him anymore.
Do you think after this preseason game, Thursday at 7:30 against the Jaguars, we'll have any indication, or will we be just as clueless as we are now?
I don't think you're going to have really much indication after September, whatever it is, 12th.
I'd say week three.
I think week three or week four, you could probably see some patterns and make some determinations at that point. But I think things are going to change. As Andy likes to say, I think it's going to be a fluid situation.
So you think through the Jets game, which is week two, they still won't have this set?
Oh, I think Bill might have an idea of what he's going to do. I don't think we'll be able to tell you exactly what they're doing.
The roster will be somewhat set.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think moving bodies, you have versatile guys. I mean, Gerard Warren played all 4-3 until he played 3-4 here, or primarily 4-3 and then played 3-4 here. Sean Ellis can play both. Carter even has some experience playing
both.
What
is that noise?
Somebody's phone is vibrating.
Andy? I think it's Andy's phone.
Oh, that's my phone.
Yep. So it's interesting. Would you label this as a good situation right now for the Patriots?
Better than it was.
Better
than it was.
Because of Sean Ellis?
Because of all those guys.
All of them. I mean,
it's like the 2001 Red Sox. Maybe one of these will be David Ortiz, and all of a sudden you found this guy who's great for the next 3 years. Maybe not, but...
And at least they're strengthening a position.
Right.
You know, which is more than they were doing before.
Right.
You know, the draft that came along...
Well,
they took...
Ty Warren was right. They're going in a different direction. Direction except him.
But how can you feel worse about it? Because even worst-case scenario, if all the new guys suck, you're back to Wilfork, Warren, and all the rotational young guys you had.
Well, yeah, see, I disagree. I think Ty Warren was right. I think that the guys that they brought in are guys that they haven't typically... Andre Carter is a guy that they would not have brought in before this year. Mark Anderson, no way.
Yeah.
I think that there is at least going to be an attempt on Bill's part to change some things. Now, whether or not he sticks with it, Andy's right. You're going to wait. You're going to have to wait and see a month or so to see if he's going to decide, okay, we can do this. This is going to work.
Two games of shooting the gap and guys running by people down the field for 40-yard runs.
I'll tell you right now, all it'll take is one big play, because that's the one thing that bothers Bill defensively more than anything else is cheap yardage, cheap points.
The Denver game a couple years ago when he redid his secondary. Remember that game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of the secondary, Brandon McGowan cut.
Out.
Another one. If Bill had listened to me and not resigned McGowan and signed Paige, we'd be fine.
So now
Paige is on the dream team.
I thought Paige did more last year in limited time than McGowan did the year before.
Plus, he did MMA all offseason. He was ready for a big year.
I liked Paige.
So now what? How's the secondary looking? Cornerbacks, you know, that hasn't changed much. But the safety position, Sanders can't get on the field.
Really? Is that how we're going to phrase it?
Well, I mean, he can't get on the field. He's battling a hammy, right?
I don't know. It's the report, but
yeah. So he can't get on the field. Chung seems to be established as a starter.
Yep.
But then after that,
Merriweather is established as a starter.
I know, but he hasn't looked good.
Well, he hasn't looked good for 3 years, but it didn't bother you then.
Well,
I think the cornerbacks, by the way, I know you glossed over that because there really isn't any change. I think the cornerbacks have played very well in camp so
yeah.
far.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
That includes Darius Butler.
All of them.
Who has struggled
Arrington,
his first
who got
years.
A late start, I think, has mm-hmm. been noticeable. Lee Bodden has been terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And Devin McCourty, it's gotten to the point now you don't even note all the good plays he makes because they're just commonplace.
Yeah, he's like Gronkowski, where he just gets it now, and it's kind of easy for him out there. He's that much better than a lot of these guys he's going up against. Obviously, it's
oh,
camp.
Yeah.
And so he makes it look easy because these guys are just so far inferior to him.
You mentioned he did have a couple of plays made against him though yesterday.
Price beat him badly yesterday.
Yeah, he does. But I mean, for the most part, he's there. Even the completions, mm-hmm. he's there. It's
Price
just,
and Welker both beat him, but I think for the most part, he's won a lot more than he's lost.
Yes,
McCourty.
Certainly.
The only cornerback that I would say has been a little disappointing is Will Hite.
But he
looks like
good for him.
He's been chasing around. He's been chasing.
Expectations
guys.
Weren't very high for him. Well, at least among us.
I thought he was battling for a slot job, and I think he's now fighting to stay on a roster.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly were no less for him for me than they were for Butler. And I think
if
Butler's
Dowling were on the field, I'd say Will Hite's just flat out.
And that's been the one disappointment is we haven't seen. We got a little cameo of Razai Dowling, but. Hasn't been on the field since.
You mentioned Gronkowski. We should talk that.
Yeah,
he,
I was going to bring up.
Walked off yesterday.
Is Bill talking today?
Yes.
Well, someone asked him the question, was there a little problem with dehydration with
probably,
some guys?
Probably.
Because that seemed to be the case with Gronkowski.
Will someone ask him? Is that what you said?
Yeah, will someone ask him?
I think
someone
will.
We expected someone to ask yesterday about Albert Haynesworth, and nobody did. So I don't assume anything when it comes to this media corps.
Eric's got his claws out.
Very snippy.
The guy who hasn't asked Bill a question yet this year has got his claws out.
That's because we're not allowed to.
I asked a question. I got a very nice Taylor Price response yesterday.
I asked a question and got a little Paul at the end.
We're not allowed to ask controversial questions.
Oh, you idiot. Please don't buy that thing.
So
Fred stopped mid-sentence because there's a stupid, what's it called?
Oh, the rack. Yeah. Not the kind that you would really want either.
The rack.
I mean,
what's
seriously,
that now?
You're not even looking for more than 10 seconds at that thing, are you? Please, move on.
He is. He's been staring at it the whole time we've been talking.
All right, so anyway.
Yes, Gronkowski looked to be dehydrated, exhausted, what have you, down on one knee. He went off with Whalen, and then a doctor took him off the field. Mankins looked to be in the similar situation, but no one went near him. Maybe they're afraid of him, and he continued to take reps and do everything. He was even on, like, field goal late in practice, all his O-line reps, but he looked exhausted.
Yeah, it was to the point where he would run a play, get down on one knee, and while the next group was coming in, it would be a struggle for him to get off before they could execute the play.
Well, I think
wouldn't be surprised to see him out today, only for a veteran day off. Just
yesterday,
I know he's going to be ready. He doesn't need to be on the field, and I'm not going to push it.
The conditions yesterday were as bad as I can remember them in a long time.
And I think they took some people by surprise. I don't think people expected it, and guys went out there, and they didn't pace themselves.
Well, because this camp, the weather has been absolutely phenomenal from our perspective. I mean, I'm sure that Bill would probably like, maybe not like yesterday, but more humid, tougher conditions to better acclimate the players. From the fans' perspective, the weather has been absolutely gorgeous every day until yesterday.
Yeah.
It was oppressively humid yesterday.
It proved it, literally. The temperature was cooler. But the humidity was through the roof, and mm-hmm. people were struggling. It had been at least 10 degrees hotter previous days, but
it wasn't
they didn't
so much the heat, Andy.
Right.
It's the humidity.
And then it poured.
And then it poured.
Twice.
Which, I mean, it was stinky, sloppy, wet.
Yeah.
There were no hot girls in white t-shirts near the tent when I was looking.
We talked about Mankins struggling a little bit yesterday. How do you guys think Solder's doing so far?
Good. I think he's holding up very well, actually. Yeah. The thing we've noticed and we talked about in the tent, he tends to get knocked back. He tends to get knocked back from his you know, the upper body, but he keeps his feet planted
right.
and doesn't get bowled over and is able to establish the position and, for the most part, is keeping people away from Brady.
Yeah, they said he had good feet, and we're seeing that. He keeps that base.
Right, and he also yeah. lacks power, clearly.
Yeah.
He can't punch and keep that distance. He loses that cushion, and he literally almost gets bent over backwards. His shoulders get pushed back, but he's able to keep his feet under him. His athleticism is very impressive, not just in those situations with the footwork, but seeing him pull out wide and lead the way. He seems very comfortable taking on DBs, much smaller guys, keeping them at a distance, running them out of the play. I think once he learns strength at the pro level, as Paul likes to say, in the next year or so, you're going to have a very good left tackle.
And then Vollmer's been manning the right side.
Yeah, they've been rotating a lot on the line, moving a lot of bodies, especially yesterday. Guys were in, out, left guard, right guard,
Don't forget, left tackle. That Matt Light has not yet suited up.
Right.
I don't want people to think that it's Solder out left tackle with Matt Light. Matt Light has not suited up yet. He's still on PUP.
Right. I've seen at least three muffed snaps so far this camp. Copen involved in all of them. Brady in one of them. Yesterday it was so slimy. It was actually the first snap, I think, in one of the team drills.
In one of the downpours, early on in the downpour. Mm-hmm. It was in that transition.
First play of the 9-on-7 drill in the pouring rain, Copen and Brady mishandled the snap.
Hasn't been just Copen.
Hit the road.
They've had others.
Oh, have they?
Yeah.
I've seen Copen run three
66,
times.
66, he had one at one point. That's Morris, who also got banged up yesterday. Looked like a lower leg injury, had some ice wrapped around his calf. And Dan Conley had ice wrapped around his right elbow. Nothing major, just to note.
Just camp. We mentioned we haven't really talked about the wide receivers yet. We're just kind of going around the camp to start the show off. Taylor Price, I think, to me, he's number three right now as far as wide receivers.
He may be. I think
he won't be.
Wait a minute. You have him ahead of Welker, Branch, or Ocho. Which one?
Ocho.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have.
I mean, for like his performance.
Performance.
Okay.
Not on the depth chart, but his performance.
But you don't think he's going to be ahead of those guys?
Like, no. But the type of camp he's had, I think Welker and Branch have been very consistent, what you expect. And, you know, I think right after that is Price. And I think Ocho has not had as good a camp as any of those three.
No, he hasn't. But he's learning.
Yeah.
He's on the fly here.
But I think that's, you know, a testament to Price. You know, he's done pretty well so far.
Ocho is where he was last year.
He doesn't look like a guy who only played in one game last year.
No, but Ocho is where Price was last year, lost in the playbook, thinking all the time, not ready to play. Now, Price has had the playbook for a year, and he's ready to play.
And I saw the tweet that you retweeted by Ocho. I think it was this morning.
Yeah, where he admitted it.
He said, you know, I'm at the point where my body's not reacting as quickly as my mind is.
Not good, though, because that's what happens to guys that are over the hill. Their mind knows what to do, but their body can't do it anymore.
See, I think he's legitimately thinking, learning on the fly here. I don't think it's easy. He probably got a little complacent at the end in Cincinnati. I think it's a big transition.
I'm going to chalk it up to that for now.
I won't give him that in November.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying is...
Then I'll go Donald Hayes on him.
No, I think Fred's... No, to me, it's either going to be it's a physical thing. Like Fred says, he's just gotten to the point, you know, you lose it a little bit and you're not necessarily as quick as you are mentally. Or he's not really knowing what he's doing yet within the offense. I think it's that right now.
I don't think you lose your hands. I think whatever your hands are, average, above average, for the most part, when you're a 10-year veteran, that's what your hands are. And I think his hands are above average. They're not great.
I heard something today that he finished in the top of drops last year. And I have always considered him to be a really, really short-handed receiver.
Yeah.
Oh, I've always thought he was
didn't know, like,
a tier
like
down.
T.O. drops passes all the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
I didn't
not
know
that
he
low.
Was like that.
Yeah.
Well,
I've
here's the thing, about, here's the thing about Ocho. The Bengals aren't on primetime that much. When you do see Ocho, but it's a highlight reel. You know, so he in a course of a game, he might drop three balls, but we never see those.
I mean, it's not like he's Oakland. He's the guy getting on those clips. If he's dropping three passes in the game, they're showing it on SportsCenter.
Right.
He's
also
a polarizing guy.
The Patriots
like
have also,
T.O. I mean, that's I don't watch T.O. every week either. When he was playing in Buffalo, I wasn't watching his games, but I know he was dropping passes.
And the Patriots have played the Bengals pretty frequently over the last 10 years, and he's been a part of those
seems
teams.
Like he catches, he's
he
great
seems
at
like
those,
he catches everything.
Those fade, you know, like sideline, mm-hmm. you know, toe tapping yep. with the hands catches, some tough catches over the middle.
That's
while
where I've seen
out.
Drops is over the middle. That's where yeah. I've seen most of my drops with him over the years. I'm talking not just here.
He made a catch against Indianapolis last year that was absolutely insane. Well,
he's pretty good now.
Maybe I, you know. Like Fred says, maybe you just remember the highlights right. and you don't remember the drops.
But I don't think you lose whatever you are. Wherever he is, whether he's a 9 out of 10, an 8 out of 10, he's a good receiver. On this field, he's been 5 out of 10. He's been average at best.
Yeah,
so
he's
you don't
been
lose
bad.
Your hands because you get old. You lose, you can't get open, you can't get separation.
I agree. He's been bad.
And I haven't seen that. I've seen him be open, have chance to make catches, and drop
so
the ball.
So he's just thinking too much.
That's what I think.
Okay.
I also don't put much stock into the statistical drop thing.
Oh, God,
I think Welker was number
yeah,
one, right?
Right?
I mean, come on. I mean, he's a very short-handed receiver.
There's a clipboard. Why don't you put together the teams with the most drops last season, and we'll yeah. be way up there.
All right.
Always looking for the negative.
Web
I'm
radio
kidding.
Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. And by the way, we are broadcasting from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studio, I must say. That's a new sponsor, so welcome on board, Subway.
Eat fresh.
Eat fresh. $5.
And I got my foot long.
Right.
What?
Eric's just shaking his head.
You going to call him a child?
Nah, he knows that.
Oh.
All right, let's get to some emails, shall
endearing.
We? So that we don't get backed up, because we do have a lot of emails.
I never get backed up.
Chris writes in. He says, I've enjoyed
no,
your
it
podcast.
All comes out with you.
Don't talk with your don't talk with your mouth full.
That's number one chastising of the show from Fred.
I love how I say I got my foot long, I never get backed up, and he gets yelled at.
I didn't yell at anybody.
You gave him the look.
Oh, it was the look.
Chris writes that I've enjoyed your podcast for a long time now. I broke off listening through the lockout when you guys would start discussing your dreams. A little cheesy, but I guess you had to fill 2 hours with something. I've really enjoyed.
We could have done the top 100 and broke it up into 10 different shows like the NFL Network did.
I have really enjoyed listening to all of your banter again now that we are back into the saddle with the Patriots on the field, but I had to turn it off with that ridiculous argument about Haynesworth. You two sounded like a couple of 40-plus spouses arguing because you both had low blood sugar. That's most of the problem here is when we don't have food, we get cranky.
Yeah, you two are ridiculous.
The discussion was
me.
Oh, was that me?
You were involved in that.
No, I think that was you two. It's always you two.
Oh, no, that was you were involved in that.
He said two, and
it's
I
it's been
think
a very polarizing argument. A lot of people said it was very funny.
Jen from Port Orange, Florida said she was listening and she enjoyed every minute.
See?
And there's an example.
So.
And even the people that hated it had to chime in as what they thought.
Right.
But, you know, and Nano, who is a longtime emailer, calls it, writes in and says that Thursday show was just an absolute disaster, just terrible. calls us a-holes.
Hey.
The whole thing.
You
know,
you don't have to get mean.
That it was just terrible. You know, and here's what I have to say to all these people that it was just, you know, the worst show ever.
Look who's getting mad.
No. But the thing about this show is we don't script it. We don't come in here with, okay, we're going to talk about this, 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 and this.
It's just the opposite. There's no show
yeah,
prep.
Yeah, well, we lay it out what is going on.
Just got out of the crapper.
But beyond that, it's completely organic.
Right.
So, you know, that's what happens sometimes when you talk about things. You get into arguments. And if you don't like it, go. You know,
wow, just go.
That's what this show is all about.
Turn your station off.
It's always been that way. We haven't changed lately.
You know, what does that mean?
What do you mean?
Well, like, you know, sometimes when people get, you know, we
in
get
trouble.
Pretty good numbers here.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes when that happens, people change, you know. Oh, now we have to start doing it another way. Well, no.
Oh, I don't
you
think
keep
we've
doing
done
it
that.
The way that you've always done it.
If we changed, we wouldn't have had that long argument about high motors.
You know, if it's that terrible and because we're talking about high motors and we're a-holes because of that, goodbye. See you later.
He's doing a little finger gesture.
Yeah, Fred's really upset.
Goodbye.
I will say
yeah, where did the a-hole part come from?
Yeah,
the initial part about
right.
the dreams.
It wasn't our worst argument ever. It couldn't have been.
No,
I mean,
not at all. First of
not
all,
even
it didn't,
in the top five.
It didn't end with right. So right. There's no way it was the worst argument ever.
And it was about a controversial new player, and it was football related.
Right. So
the only thing
it might have gone on a little long, but it wasn't the worst argument we've ever had.
I want to carry over what Fred and Andy just talked about, how the organic nature of the show. To the previous emailer who said, you know, I had to tune out during the lockout because you guys were talking about dreams, a little cheesy. Those, by the way, also not scripted.
Nope.
Right.
It's not like we came and said, you know what, we'll talk about today what dreams you have that are, you know, Patriots related. No, it just kind of, these are things that pop into your head right. at odd times during the show, and you talk about them.
Let's see. Who's this? Is this Zach from Syracuse? Yes, it is Zach from Syracuse. I think one of the more important but also overlooked signings is getting Gerard Warren back. I say that because when healthy, he showed last season that he can play both end and nose in the 3-4, but also has experience at tackle in the 4-3 from his years in Oakland. He adds good depth regardless of the defensive front. Now time for a game. I give you guys a name, and you say whether he will be cut on the practice squad or on the 53.
Love the games.
Ron Brace.
Cut.
I'm going to go cut.
Cut.
Matthew Slater.
Cut.
Cut. Cut.
Tracy White.
Here.
On the team.
53.
Oh, is that the designation? Yeah, right. 53? 53.
Matt Catula.
53.
Lee Smith.
53.
Why? 53.
Because he can block? Because he'll be the third tight end.
Okay.
53, but
it'll be a battle.
Yeah. Feel less comfortable with that one.
It'll be a battle between him, Yeatman, and
well, I don't even
Carson
know about
Butler.
That. I mean, it'll be
two
a battle 51, 52, 53 yep. if there's 13 defensive linemen or some ridiculous number.
Or if you want to keep an
running
extra
back.
Running back. If Sammy Morris makes it, say, as a fullback.
And if Solder and or Lavoir can do the job when active on game day. I mean, that's one of those that really comes down to the wire.
Steve Mineri has some tight end experience.
Yep.
Darnell Jenkins.
Cut.
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 Brandon,
wow, we went from a good one to a really bad one.
Brandon Diedrich.
Cut.
I'm going to say PUP.
Can we get
an open the season
IR?
PUP.
Can we do an IR?
We can add an IR.
IR.
You know?
Okay. But that's a.
Okay, PUP.
That's a possibility for him.
Well, if I can cheat, I'll do it.
It's not really cheating. It's putting off the decision for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Jonathan Wilhite.
Jonathan Wilhite. Looking like cut.
I'm going to say cut, but. Bill now, likes him. Bill seems like he likes him more than we do.
If Dowling goes on IR,
I could change.
Then
things.
I would
I'd say
Will 53. Height makes it.
I think 53.
Person who you say is having a decent camp, Darius Butler.
Oh, 53.
Makes it.
Sergio Brown.
53. They don't have much depth at safety right now, and he's going to make it.
Eric, could you pour me a Coke, please?
We need cups.
We don't have cups.
There's only one cup in here, and selfish Paul took it.
I'm not sure Butler's a lock. I think those two are very interesting, Wilhite and Butler.
I do, too. I don't think there's room for both. I said no for Wilhite, so I'll say yes to Butler. Sergio Brown, if all of the safeties that are here now stay, in other words, there's no deal in the offing for a guy like Merriweather, then I say no for Sergio Brown. But I have a feeling there might be some changes going on there.
Finally,
Malcolm Williams.
I think he makes it. 53.
Yeah, either he or Slater makes it.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be him. I think they'll take the cheaper new guy.
And finally, he says, who's your favorite undrafted guy you think will make the cut and why?
Lavarius.
You were talking about Lavarius.
Well, he's getting some early reps.
Well,
the one thing, though, is I loved him
right up until we signed 27 other defensive
but
linemen.
But he's an undersized D lineman, so he'll have the special teams roles. He's going to make the team.
He might be a practice squad guy.
Don't buy all this Tarpanian devil hype.
I really like this guy.
Okay.
Lavarius.
He'll be on the roster.
Sean Mack from Hazleton, Pennsylvania. What's up, guys? Hope all is well. My question today is the depth at safety, where there's nothing out there remaining in free agency, and the lack of a great camp by Merriweather in the absence of Andy's Binky, who I also agree adds a lot to this team, James Sanders. The safety position is the biggest concern going forward.
What?
I like all these pieces they added on the D-line and DN, which will mask the lack of a true outside linebacker pass rusher. Would a corner, say a Darius Butler, get moved to safety, which could save his career with the Patriots?
No. I think he'd be one of the last guys.
Yeah,
I say he's last.
Too small.
Also,
maybe Wilhite.
Frail.
Also, with the signing of all these ends, it's definitely a sign the end is near for Ron Brace. But it is also that Jermaine Cunningham is not developing fast enough for Belichick, or is it a sign that the second-year players and first-year players are behind because of the lockout?
I wanted to talk about Cunningham a little bit and get your thoughts. Have you been noticing it seems to be a lot of people being pretty critical of him? A lot of the reports lately all of a sudden have included...
How can you tell?
Well, that would be my question.
He did, for whatever it's worth, he did move down this faux depth chart we have. It was always Moore and Cunningham, and then reps started coming with the quote-unquote first group that didn't have Cunningham in it. My boy Lavarius got some reps in there. Somebody else did. So he's and I haven't seen him do a damn thing. I haven't seen him flash not once, ever.
But have you seen a difference between him this year or last year? No. Everybody was in love with him heading into camp.
Right.
Well, I wasn't.
No, I'm talking about the media at large. This is the let's introduce this topic, this subject as it's time to bash the local media.
Oh,
that's
okay.
My favorite topic.
Right. Because Paul, that's because they had set expectations far too high for him, and they wanted him to succeed.
I'll give you an example. I heard this morning on the radio, someone mentioned one of the top three players, and I think you may have heard the same interview with Chris Price, who we both love.
Didn't hear.
One of the top three players in camp this week so far, Gronkowski was one. Brandon Spikes was another. Brandon Spikes has not made it from start to finish of a single practice. How could he be one of the best players at camp?
Ridiculous.
You know,
when he's been out there, he's been active, but
he's had a few
one
hits.
Day?
He's had a couple pops.
He's missed the last three days entirely.
I don't know that he'd be in my top
10. I don't think he'd be in my top 30.
I don't know about that. He's always going to take it that next step. He's got to cross
the
line.
It's not because of how he's played. He's not been on the field.
Right.
How can you say he's played better than Aaron Hernandez, who I think has been off to a somewhat slow start, but he's been out there every day.
He's picking it up, though, I think Hernandez is.
Yep, of late.
Yeah.
I hear you. That's what I'm talking about sometimes.
I guarantee you, Paul, these expectations,
they get out of whack.
Paul, I guarantee you, if they hadn't picked up all these D linemen and ends, people would still be saying the same thing about Cunningham.
Well, that's my point, Freddie.
He'd be their only hope.
And they would be clinging to that.
Right.
And they wouldn't be saying anything about Aaron Laverius that Andy noticed several days ago about him getting reps, that Andy and I were talking about it in the tent.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden they sign these defensive linemen, so they got to say, well, why are they signing? Well, obviously not a good sign for Jermaine Cunningham. Well, in his defense, he went from trying to learn a new position last year and spending an entire year trying to transition to standing up and playing outside linebacker. Now all of a sudden he gets to camp without any off-season training, and they say, oh, go back and put your hand on the ground. Forget all that stuff that we talked to you about last year. And we're going to sit there and say, well, he's a colossal disappointment.
Why wouldn't you assume it's more that's the colossal disappointment, that you got him out there for a week and said, oh, he can't play. We got to get somebody behind him, because it was Moore and Cunningham first group. Maybe Moore is not the 2 sacks in 4 games flash in the pan he was last December.
And you guys know that I'm not in love with Cunningham. I don't think that Cunningham did a whole lot
last
year.
I'm with Urban Meyer. I think he's a fine guy that it's worthy of being on a football field, but if you're basing your whole edge presence around him, you're going to be sorely disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Darius in Virginia Beach writes in, Bonehead Fred, what are you saying, that unless people agree with your show, they should just go? So you don't welcome criticism except when it's about Andy and the crappy show we had a few weeks ago? Because I didn't hear you tell people to go then.
Yeah.
Bonehead Fred, you're too damn sensitive. Get a spine. No, I'm not. You go away. Let's take a break.
There's no way
there's no way.
There's no one even listening. She can't even hear
us. That was a perfect out.
Fred just wanted to go to a break, just so you know.
Come on, Ray Ray.
You got the thumbs up. So screw yourself and we're going to a break.
All right, let's take a break. Now.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, here to tell you about the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit. The Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit is back and better than ever. Tuesday evening, August 23rd, will feature special appearances by Hall of Famers John Hanna, Andre Tippett, Gino Cappelletti, as well as current and former professional athletes and local celebrities at Gillette Stadium. The evening will feature comedy performances by headliners Lenny Clark, Paul D'Angelo, Paul Narduzzi, Steve Sweeney, and more. With live auctions, silent auctions, and nonstop laughter, this event is a fun evening you won't want to miss. All proceeds will benefit the Mosi Tatupa Memorial Scholarship Foundation, which provides college scholarships to young athletes with learning differences, exemplifying the outstanding qualities that characterize our dear friend Mosi Tatupa. Last year's event sold out quickly, so be sure to purchase your tickets today. Visit the Patriots.com website for more details and to purchase your tickets. I look forward to seeing you at the second annual Mosi Tatupa Comedy Benefit.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Browns!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
You ask,
how come the only time you give out the phone number is the time when people can't call it?
And we listen.
They can't call. That line's busy.
Why do you have to tell everybody there's only one line?
The phone line has been upgraded to 4 lines. Call us at 508-298-0398.
All right.
Don't talk with your mouth full, Fred.
I'm trying not to.
That's why we're going to have a short pause while Fred chews and swallows his Italian with mayonnaise
mayo
on it.
I can't believe that.
How did they make that mistake?
That is ridiculous.
I said Italian works. That does not include mayonnaise.
You are correct, Fred.
All right. Thanks for listening. We're here until 2 o'clock. As
except for you,
are.
Nano, who Fred told to go screw himself.
He
called us a-holes.
Yeah.
He brought it on
is
himself.
Is that really the first time?
No, but I don't
know. No, but for
getting into an argument.
Illegitimate reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that they didn't like the argument. I mean, that's to whoever's interpreting, you don't have to call us names.
Right.
508-298-0398. Just because I call all the fans stupid doesn't mean that they can do that.
508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Dan in Florida writes in, love the show, except any future high motor talk will be immediately followed by me switching to ESPN Boston with at Pac-Man Jones.
Which will immediately be followed by you switching back to us.
If you need a nap, go ahead.
Just kidding. I'm not going anywhere. Anyway, what do you guys think of Matt Roth possibly pricing himself out of New England? Seemed like he would have been a great fit, a versatile player at a reasonable cost, a guy who knows the system, coming from one losing situation, Miami, after another, Cleveland. I thought he would jump at the opportunity to join a championship contender. Shalise Manza-Young says he asked for too much money after the negotiations began. Who does he think he is to try to push around the Pats at the negotiating table? Just curious to your thoughts on the signing that slipped away and if we are better off with the proven veteran mammoths like Albert and Sean Ellis.
Look, it's not like this was Tamba Hali that hasn't signed, priced himself out. It's Matt Roth. Who cares?
I mean, he was released 2 seasons ago in the middle of the year. You know, the first time I said, oh, that's a lock. Pater's going to get him. They didn't. This time was a lock. They didn't. But, yeah, the reports were that there was some sort of an offer, whatever, and he came back and said he wanted more, and it sounds like they told him to go
with himself. Someone tweeted that he asked for He can be had for 1 year, $3 million.
That's what his agent or whatever supposedly has sent out now.
Oh, okay.
But back when he worked out here, the report was they kind of thought there was a ballpark agreement, whatever, and he came back to them and said, I want more, you know, with a counter offer of more money, and they moved on.
Okay.
I'm okay with it. I mean, I wanted him. I think he could help. Now, this transition, I'm not sure he'd help a lot in the 4-3 fronts.
Or as much. Yeah.
But he's certainly a versatile player with some experience in the system and the terminology and a lot of the stuff from his time in Cleveland and Miami. But he's Matt Roth. Maybe he read that Pro Football Focus thing that we read that said there would be a bidding war for Matt Roth, and he started
and
believing his own clippings.
Right.
You're
right.
A Jag. That's what you are. So a Jag should be trying to find a job and a team, not sending out demands via mass emails.
Artie and Keen writes in, I've gotten tickets to take my son Cooper to his first Patriots game for his 9th birthday. It's the last preseason game against the Giants. Given the shortened offseason and lockout and all, what are the chances that
Sorry
we'll get a
that.
Chance to see a hefty amount of starters?
It's the 4th preseason game. There's no chance you'll see any starters.
Well, his question is because of the shortened.
I still don't think you're going
to
see any starters.
You don't have to be
snubs. He really does.
Yeah. Smut about it. It's just like, wow.
I feel bad for him.
Now that would.
Well, maybe you shouldn't.
That I can understand someone calling you an a-hole for.
Okay.
You know.
But I feel bad for the guy. He's taking his son. Of all the preseason games to go to, that's the worst one.
I'm going
to
toss a little gasoline on the fire and say that I actually think they might play a little bit more than normal because of exactly the reasons already said.
Well, Eric doesn't believe you.
No, I know. He gave me tone, too, then.
Right.
By extension. Thank you.
That's why they hate you.
Completing my sentence.
So you do think there could be a shot.
Yeah. I'm not going to pretend to know for sure, but I think this year it's as unpredictable as it possibly could be. But it would stand to reason that given the paucity, how's that for a word?
Oh, I like that.
Of preparation heading into training camp.
The king of pomposity likes the word paucity.
Right? Wouldn't you think that they might need a little bit more time to
especially,
get themselves
well,
up to speed?
I would make a counter argument. You could see the defensive linemen. You could see a mix of starters and Jags.
I would make the counter argument that they don't have as much time to evaluate the guys who they know aren't going to be the starters, so they need more time to see them in game type action.
So heading into the season, what would you feel better about?
Ray Ventrone?
Not knowing who your 53rd member is, or not having your number one member quite up to speed?
It's a tough call.
Really?
It is.
The scenario I just unfolded to you would be a tough call.
It's a tough call because
An idiot.
Because of the talent they have on this team. I'm not concerned about Brady. I'm not concerned about Welker and Branch. I'm not concerned really about Gronkowski.
Reps. They still
those guys.
Need the reps.
I'm just saying it's a tough call.
They start the season off against Miami, and then they play the Jets. Those are two huge games. Those
then they play the Chargers.
I know, but those are two division games.
The Chargers are not a division game, and that's who they play next.
Mm-hmm. What? Oh, I thought they played the Jets in week two.
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
I believe the Chargers are
Chargers.
First home game.
The Jets are week three? Where did the Jets fall? I thought they were early.
I don't know. Does anybody else count in the league other than the Jets to you?
No.
I just feel...
But those division games are huge.
I understand what Eric, your point.
We go to Oakland week three.
Do we?
And then
close.
Go to Buffalo week four.
When the hell are we playing the Jets? Oh, no, that's right. The Jets are...
Twice.
But they're bunched together, right? In the middle, sort of?
Mm-hmm. They're in that eight-game stretch.
I understand what your point is going in, Eric, that you don't have concerns about Brady and Gronkowski.
Yeah, week five and week ten.
I agree with that, but I do feel like it might require a little bit more preseason work to get them where you want them to be come week one.
Okay,
than normal.
I don't know.
Not a good training camp for a guy trying to break in. That's where I agree with you.
Right,
it's tough for them.
But I will continue with Paul's argument, I think then that might be a reason for you to see the starters play more in the second or third preseason game, or even in the first preseason game. But by the fourth preseason game, I think you've solidified who your starters are and
how
they're going to be.
The problem is, on the first one, you might not be ready to have anybody play that much.
Right. Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
See, that's what I think is going to happen.
Like, as an example, Logan Mankins yesterday. 3 days later, you want him out there playing more than you normally would on the first game, based on him being on a knee and not really looking like he was ready to go. That's my concern. And Bill knows these things, you know, better than any of us possibly could by watching. Bill, you know, is understanding what his team needs. I mean, I think the guy knows a little something while putting a program together.
Right.
Maybe it'll be exactly the same as it is every preseason, and we won't see the starters in the fourth game at all. I don't know.
I think
my guess is this is a little bit of a different situation.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of guys in this first game, you know, a lot of reps, you know, spread around. And you're not going to see, like, the starters play as much as they have in the past. And I think you might see them play more in the fourth game.
Okay, but by more, do you mean more like the second preseason game or more like the third preseason game?
No, well, the third preseason game, they play a lot.
Exactly. And so is the fourth game going to be more like that, or is it going to be more like the first or second game?
I think the third preseason game, they might even not play as much as they have, and then they'll play more in the fourth.
All right. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. You know,
I just don't want to. I wouldn't want to, you know, put all my hopes in that fourth game and think we're going to see Brady
for
three
Cooper.
Quarters.
I don't want Cooper.
I know
to get his
that's
hopes
what
up.
I mean. Don't promise the kid that he's going to see Brady for four
but
quarters.
I think you know you might have an indication by that third game if you don't see Brady. Usually Brady plays into the third quarter
in the third game, right?
And if he doesn't, he might play a little bit more in the fourth game.
Here's what your expectation should be.
There are times when Brady doesn't play at all in the fourth game. I think he'll play in the fourth
game. Well, that's what I was going to say. If you should set your expectations that he's not going to play. And if the fact that he even suits up and gets on the field in game four should be surpassing expectations.
Happy birthday,
help me out.
Cooper.
Exactly.
Help me out. He played last year in the fourth game a little bit, I think.
Yes, he did, a little bit.
Which is a departure from the norm for
right.
him. Well, I mean, there's one year he didn't play at all in the
fourth. Last year was his best training camp ever.
And he was coming back from
ended into an MVP season.
Ended into?
Let's see.
Coming back from what?
I don't know.
James Veen.
He was a year removed from coming back from.
That's why I stopped. He got me. I go, yeah. No, I gave him a, oh yeah.
James Veen in the UK. Hey, guys, Kevin and Ray Ray. Thanks for answering my question last week, though.
Hey,
it was a little disappointing that you didn't play my game and instead went into one of the worst conversations I've ever heard you guys get into.
What's the game? What's repeat
if
the game?
If your game was any good, it would have kept us from that conversation.
The entire thing just seemed futile and utterly based on semantics, not at all to the high level of entertainment you guys normally provide.
Clearly, you don't listen to any of Paul and Fred's arguments.
Now, wait a minute. All right, that's the kind of criticism I can live with. Not up to the high level that you guys normally provide.
All right,
provide.
Hurry up with the game, because I got to go get through Bill's press conference.
The game.
Why? You
choices.
Don't ask questions.
Which will be greater in the 2011 season based on some stats I found to be interesting from last year? Who will have greater yards per reception this year, G-Force or H-Bomb?
I still think Hernandez.
I'm going to go Gronkowski again.
I'm going G-Force.
As he did last year.
Last year, he was a half a yard better than H-Bomb.
Plus, I'm going to stick with my Taylor Price ascension. And if he's getting more of the fourth receiver role, then I think he will take.
He didn't ask about Taylor Price.
Well, if you would shut your fat mouth and keep listening
listen
for a minute.
His analysis.
He will take opportunities away from spread sets Hernandez would normally be, and you will see Taylor Price on the field more. So Hernandez will have less plays.
More interceptions. Chung?
What does that mean?
Or James
Less
Sanders.
Was incorrect syntax. It's fewer.
If you want me to start telling you every time I have to change the crap in your stories that is wrong, we can go there.
More interceptions.
An extra comma.
Chung
is
or
not
Sanders?
A big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal when you've been told 1,000 times not to put the damn comma in.
Say it again, Fred.
More interceptions.
Ignoring it that we don't use an apostrophe after S is a big deal. It's being pompous and not doing your job and
say
not
again,
doing what
Fred,
people tell
you
to do.
Putting the apostrophe
yes, he is.
Sometimes.
Every time
do
he does it. And every time
force
on the
habit.
Web, so we, it's not force of habit because habit goes away after however many 5-6 years you've been here. It's absolute pompous ignorance on your part. Thank
or
you.
Arrogance.
And arrogance.
Yeah.
Arrogant ignorance. Arrogant ignorance.
Right.
It's more of the arrogant because I know how this works in Eric's mind. Because technically there are times where the apostrophe is correct.
Right.
And he just can't bring himself. No, I'm talking about
the comma is never
the
correct.
The comma is not
ever
question.
Correct.
Oh, the apostrophe
it's wrong.
Thing.
That
right.
depends
yeah,
on
yeah, yeah,
the comma
yeah.
is completely up to your style, and our style is no comma before and. The Boston Globe, you put the comma in, the Boston Herald doesn't. You know, so that's
I was
completely,
taught you don't, but
right. Yeah. I was always taught you don't too, and right. that's you know, makes it easy. The apostrophe after Patriots, there are times where that's technically right. But we just have
right.
kind of gone away from that because it's used incorrectly so often
right.
that just taking it out doesn't change the meaning. You can't bring yourself to do it in a way that you don't think is right. That's where the arrogant word that Fred uses comes in.
All right,
you can't bring yourself to do it.
All right, we got
to
hurry up.
All right. More interceptions,
right.
Chung or
we
James Sanders?
Right.
Chung or James Sanders? More interceptions.
Chung.
Last year they both had three.
Yeah. Chung will be on the field more. More chances.
The team's rushing touchdowns. Let's see. I don't know what the question is. The team rushing touchdown 2010 was 19 or turnover ratio plus 28. What would be more? I don't know what the question is there. What will improve? I'm not sure.
What All will right. be higher, the team's rushing touchdowns or the turnover margin? I'm going to say the team's rushing touchdowns.
Well, last year the turnover ratio was plus 28.
Right.
Yeah,
and it's
come way down.
And I think that will come down.
So they had 19
the rushing touchdowns will probably be about the same.
All right, we'll go with that.
I'm going to say the rushing touchdowns are going to stay higher.
Okay, so along that vein, the team's total sacks or Tom Brady touchdown passes. Last year they were both 36.
I'm going to say the sacks will be a little bit higher this year.
Me too.
I'll
go sacks.
I'll go sacks too.
Team rushing touchdowns or touchdown passes caught by tight ends. Last year, there were 19 rushing touchdowns and 18 touchdown passes caught by tight ends.
I will say touchdowns by tight ends.
I'm going to go rushing touchdowns because I think that at some point teams are going to just say, I'm not going to let Rob Gronkowski catch a touchdown.
The team's special teams touchdowns in 2010, there were four. Or the team's defensive touchdowns. Last year, there were five.
Defensive.
Yeah.
I'll go defensive.
Defensive.
Yeah. And that's it.
That's it.
Looking forward to the season and much anticipated pregame
and
socials.
Yeah. We'll see it.
As well as the return of Rook and the very angry man, Pete Shepard.
All right. See you at practice.
And B-Lo on Thursday.
All right.
Eric's out. He's got to go to
Bill. No, he's going to Bill.
And what is this? Is this just trash that
I'm
supposed to like, keep
let
for
me
you?
Finish.
Hi-ho. Do you need this?
I'll get it at the podcast.
I'll get you on Thursday.
You want to put it in the fridge so it's nice and cold?
It's just an apple. So
I know. I like my apple nice and chilled.
No, it's fine the way it is.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
When you chill it, doesn't that make it get, like, brown?
No.
No?
Eric's off to practice and Bill Belichick.
Not necessarily in that order.
Right.
Because we'll be at practice once this show ends.
Correct.
For any of those in attendance, stop by the tent and meet Paul Perillo. He'll be happy to sign anything you provide for him.
And if you want to do that, then you'll surely notice Andy hiding behind
the velvet rope.
The table in the back.
Yellow rope.
The pregame social, we should plug that. It's as good a time as any to do that.
Very excited for that on
Starting
Thursday, Freddie.
Thursday, 2 hours and 15 minutes before the game.
Looking forward to chatting with Vito Stellino.
Yep. Vito Stellino, longtime beat writer for the Jacksonville Jaguars, will join Andy and Paul. I'll call in from upstairs. And
you can let us know if there are guys that are in street clothes and whatnot, even though we won't get an official inactive list.
Right. So go to Patriots.com on game day, and there'll be a link that takes you right to the pregame social. We're very excited about that, and we want you to make it part of your game day routine. And then after the game, Adam Jones, ESPNBoston.com's Adam Jones, will host the Patriots postgame show.
He'll be making it rain right here in the subway.
So that'll start right
studios.
After the game, and he'll have cut-ins to Bill Belichick's press conference, and a player will actually call in to his show. So,
wow.
When did that happen?
12 years I've been doing this. I can never get any of this kind of
I talked to our media relations department. They're going to effort a player calling in.
Oh, okay.
From the locker room?
You just changed that dramatically. We're going to try to get a player.
Right.
Okay. So that's Adam Pac-Man Jones in the postgame show.
Aaron Salkin does a fine job. I say that he will get a player more often
will.
Than not.
Don't misunderstand that. I wasn't putting that on the media relations department in any way, shape, or form.
I think they'll get a player. There's enough of those lame interviews they do. Those guys always waiting. Can you do 5 minutes on the radio? They'll get one. They'll get somebody.
I was going to go to Anthony in Naples on the line, but
he hung up.
He hung up.
Oh, well, maybe he.
Got to the pool he had to clean. Maybe he was between jobs and you put him on hold too long.
He'll
call back.
I'll go back to the emails.
Angry Anthony will call back.
Andrew in the Ukraine says, I'm sure I'm getting ahead of myself, but I was looking at the schedule, and I can't help thinking that I'm rooting for Pittsburgh to win their division this year. Whoever wins that division shouldn't have fewer than 13 wins, and if it's Pittsburgh, I think we can easily beat them anywhere we play, not so much with Baltimore. I think we are better than last year, but I don't know if our schedule bodes well for a 14-win season.
I agree, and I agree. And I agree.
Okay.
I have no idea what you're even talking about.
I think we always match up well with Pittsburgh. I'd rather face them than Baltimore or the Jets.
Well, I
am wholeheartedly definitely.
And I think this team could be better than it was last year and have a worse record.
Two teams on the way down this year.
I agree with
Pittsburgh
that,
Pittsburgh and the Colts.
Well, the Colts certainly could be in trouble.
You heard it here first.
I think if Peyton, and it's a big if. If Peyton Manning is okay, I think they go up.
No.
I have my doubts about them.
I have my doubts about Peyton Manning right now.
Right, and that's a big part of it.
No question.
I term him the team there, pretty much.
Well, I agree, but I think I like some of the minor things that they've done. I think they've improved in some areas. But if he's not Peyton Manning, then it doesn't matter.
And either way, I mean, if he doesn't practice for another week or something.
I think
something.
People forget they weren't that good last year.
Right.
I think they'll be better than they were last year.
They had a ton of injuries last year.
Yeah. And usually those things tend to even out a little bit. I think they'll be better as long as he's okay. But that's a big if. That's a big if. He's not practiced yet, right? Still?
No.
So that's a big if.
Let's see. Marty in Northern Ireland says, "Hey, men of PFW and Eric. I listen to you guys every week, and what a great show. I'm coming to you guys for some help or advice. I'm traveling to New York in early October, and I know the Patriots play the Jets in Foxborough the weekend I'm there. Now, as I'm from Northern Ireland, I don't
Let
know.
Let Fred know. What weekend is that?
I got all confused. I thought the Jets were week two for some reason. Now, as I'm from Northern Ireland, I don't know that much about the logistics of the Northeast in the States. Is it possible to travel from the Big Apple to New England easy enough? We won't be driving, so public transportation. And is it economical, time and money-wise?
Yep.
I'd love to try and take my girlfriend to the game and show her what all the fuss is about. Secondly, are tickets on sale for that game yet? Is it hard for us in the UK to get a hold of them? You can take the train. It's about a 3.5-hour train ride.
Yeah, it's not
buses.
It's not necessarily.
You could also take a bus, but
but it's not necessarily public transportation.
No, it's not public.
You have
to buy a ticket.
Buy tickets and whatnot. It's not like just jumping up. You know,
right.
Don't get on the Wang Fu or whatever. What's that one that always
The Funhua.
Yeah. Don't get on that one.
You'll
save money, but you might die.
Yeah. If there's
at least a 50-50 shot and you're not making it.
If you don't mind spending a little bit for a ticket, you could take the Acela and it's actually fun.
And then you can go into Boston and then you can take the train down here to the stadium from wherever you stay.
And you
can
take public transportation from Boston to Foxborough for the game. Absolutely.
So, check patriots.com for the train schedule from Boston to the stadium, but then go on to Amtrak, AMTRAK, for the schedule from New York to Boston on the train.
And you don't have to just do the Acela. You can do the regular one, too.
Now, the ticket is going to be a little bit harder. He's probably going to have to, at this point, hit the brokers, right?
Right.
Which are, I don't want to throw a name out
there. No, Ace Ticket.
Ace Ticket is the one, okay.
Yep. Ace Ticket.
I don't want to offend any sponsors.
Yep. Or you can, post something on the Patriots bulletin board or, that you're looking for tickets, somebody might, but that Jets game is going to be a tough get, I would imagine.
Yes.
P.S., what an exciting preseason.
Tough enough for Freddie. He thinks it's in week two.
I'll try to pick up my 85 jersey if I get to the pro shop.
Hernandez? Oh, no.
Ocho.
No.
They've made that switch.
So you can probably get some good Hernandez 85s on a deal right now, right?
Yeah.
T-shirts at least.
Did
you see the T-shirts they had immediately?
No.
85 Ocho Cinco Patriots.
Oh yeah, they can get those T-shirts done really quick.
I was impressed. Usually Flanders takes forever.
Robin in Alaska.
Forever?
Andy
what was
came
that?
Andy came out swinging today and didn't breathe until 3 minutes in. Is that a record?
Yes.
After the show is over, you should listen back. It's hilarious. Fred is trying to get a word in, and Andy is steamrolling him like Jason Taylor.
Yeah, Eric and
Matt
Light. Eric and I were looking at each other like, what got into him?
He's got his shorts on.
I do have my shorts on. Have you guys had these cookies? They're very,
I had
very
one.
Good.
It was actually very
yeah,
good.
Yeah, they look good. I'm busy with the show, though.
Eat a cookie. No, you're not. It didn't stop you from eating your sub.
I haven't finished the sub.
Eat a cookie.
That's only because there's mayonnaise on it.
Yeah, eat a cookie. They're tremendous.
No, they look good. The cranberry with the white chocolate.
But they're the perfect, not too soft, not overdone, warm.
You're giving the reach around? What?
Okay, Paul and I will talk then, apparently. Paul, Julian Edelman. I think a guy who has had a very good camp who's flown under the radar. I haven't seen a lot of praise for him.
Yeah, I would agree with your assessment. I think the most impressive elements for him have been he looks quick, and you talked about him being faster.
No doubt.
But
he shaved 2 tenths off his 40.
As a return guy, I haven't seen him do a tremendous amount in terms of strict wide receiver
and
play.
And I don't expect him to. With a guy like Taylor Price, I mean, I don't think there's room.
And really?
No, I'm being dead serious.
Taylor Price has turned into Jimmy.
Edelman was only going to be a wide receiver option if he had to be. When you have Welker and Branch, there's no room for Edelman. I'm sorry. He has to wait another year until one of those guys is gone, probably, and then he can ascend to a bigger role.
Yeah.
But Price is more of an outside, versatile receiver who can do more things.
But it seems that wasn't
like a shot at anybody.
And it's always dangerous to try to read too much into what it looks like when they work on special teams and returns because it is the least live action that there is in training camp. Is when they practice kick returns or punt returns or whatever. They go down there, they get, it's all positioning, it's where you're supposed to be, but those are big collisions, and they don't do a whole lot of that in training.
But how come Edelman's is always better than Tate's
Edelman,
and Price's?
I said he looked quicker.
His is always better.
And I mentioned that you said that you thought he was actually
the
faster.
Hair just wafting behind
him. It's
not
only faster, but from east-west, side to side. You know how like Barry Sanders used to go sideways? He seems to have that little jump east-west this year that he does look a little quicker, and he's noticeably better than the other guys.
And how is he going to react if he's not used a lot? That's my concern.
Last year, that was a problem for him, and he admitted it.
Now, I think he's a good punt returner. I think I'm to the point where I say he's a good punt returner.
Yeah, I think he is, too. I thought that last year.
And I'm also to the point where I can say Price is not a return option.
Yeah, Price
has
bobbled a lot.
Too many balls are bouncing off his chest.
But in his defense, he hasn't done a whole lot of that. So, you know, we had a, you know, you kind of give him a little bit of a little slack. I tried, Andy. I'm sorry.
Tim in Fresno says, wow, what a busy weekend. Do you think Ellis is worth the $4+ million?
Nope.
This preseason should be really interesting. Is there any doubt we will be dabbling in the 4-3 more this year?
Nope.
And can we get a fourth for Merriweather?
Please. Nope.
I'm with Andy. Price is going to be a beast. Keep up the good work and go Pats, F the Jets.
I'm going to say a very hypocritical statement. I don't think Price. I don't think Ellis is worth the four, whatever million. But I also love the signing.
Me too.
I love the fact that they did that. That they said, okay.
They
I think this
had
guy
to get him.
I think this guy
Jets.
Can help us.
No, not the Jets. It may be the other team that was offering a multi-year deal.
Yeah,
I think this guy
can help us, and I'm going to give him more money than I probably
saying,
want
if,
to.
If you're
I like
Sean
that.
Ellis and you're picking between two teams that aren't the Jets. You're probably going to pick for the team that's out of your division because you don't want to, you know, you spent a long time there. So you don't want to be that guy. But
there also seems to be a hint of he wasn't happy that he was the last on the to-do list.
No, but still, but you don't want to take it out on the fans.
Well, I think
and
he
all
called
that.
It insulting, right? Didn't he use that term?
Yeah.
Yeah. Although he used that phrase. Did you know that the phrase low man on the totem pole is totally incorrect? That in Native American culture, the most important things are on the bottom of the totem pole?
Really?
Yeah. So that phrase is just stupid.
I didn't know that. So there you go. We learn something every day on PFW.
But Ellis is going to be good.
Usually not from Andy Hart, though. What?
I almost just told you to go bleep yourself.
Mike in Pensacola. Hey, men of PFW and Eric, I have a game for you, which I give a name of a player, and you tell me what player, past or present, his play reminds you of. Deion Branch.
Deion Branch. I don't know.
I don't know either. It's hard.
I don't know.
Let's go to the next guy, Brandon Spikes.
Ted Johnson.
Really? Sebastian Vollmer. Any big...
Pat Harlow.
Yeah, Pat Harlow.
Am I sticking with Patriots?
I don't know.
Or can it be anybody?
Can any player.
Tony Boselli.
Devin McCourty.
He just got much better. Devin McCourty.
I don't know. I mean, this is a tough
Ty Law.
Game.
Reminds me a lot of Ty Law. Like kind of compact and thick.
Finally,
physical.
Rob Gronkowski.
Witten.
Really?
I
think he's more athletic than Witten.
I think he probably is. I think he's the best.
I don't know. I'll get back to that one.
Okay.
It was a tough game.
Yeah, that's hard.
I like the effort, but...
I'm not big on the comparison games.
You and Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Jim in Walpole says, does anyone know how Rashai Dowling is doing? Is he even practicing? Haven't heard anything about him this camp. On another note, it was pretty pathetic when I was at the season ticket holder practice last week, and after the practice, my son and his friends were all excited about the players signing autographs, and I was all excited to see Fred, Paul, B-Lo, and Three Wise on the sideline. Yes, I was more excited to be in the presence of Fred Kirsch than Tom Brady. What is wrong with me?
You're a loser.
Also,
after you should have noticed that I was there.
Also, after seeing Lindsay in person, I can see why Big Head made such a fool of himself that day. Well, Big Head does that every day, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
Dowling, the day before that season ticket holder practice, is the only day that he has been suited up for a workout. That was, a week ago today? Tuesday.
Big.
It's amazing how that seems so long ago in training camp because it's every day. Yeah, he's only practiced once. And then the next day, I believe, was inside the stadium for that season ticket holder event. He did not practice that night and hasn't since. He's been on the field working out in shorts with all the other rehabbing guys. But, have we read anything about it? Is it a hammy? We read anything about him?
I think somebody had reported it was a hammy, the group of guys dealing with hamstring issues. Right. Jeff Howe, maybe.
Now, those, by the way, and I've been critical of the whole lockout thing that I've been sarcastic about, those are the kinds of injuries I think that are somewhat lockout related.
Maybe.
Leg muscle pulls and stuff like that. You might be able to say there's more of those this year than there have been in past years. I will say this, and I specifically looked this up this morning. Last year on this date, there were 15 players that didn't practice. Yesterday there were 16, and there's 10 more guys on the roster right now than there were at the time last year.
So percentage-wise, it's better.
It's the same. I mean, it's not lockout. Now, I don't know. Do you want to call? I think there's been 9 or 10 ruptured Achilles tendons since camp started.
I believe it's up to 10.
Can you consider that a lockout casualty? I don't know.
No. Footwear. But as much as you can say Dowling in the hamstrings could be lockout, Razai Dowling is a guy who's always hurt.
I'm not saying it is lockout related. I'm saying you could make an argument. Well, if he was here for offseason, he'd be in better. I'm saying you can make that argument.
Or he would have got hurt then.
Prince Amukamara broke his foot. I don't think you can call that a lockout related injury. But I think people will. People will say, look at all these rookies. They didn't have any proper, off-season OTAs with their teams, and look at all these rookies. LeSure with his Achilles, and this guy, I think Nick Fairley's been out for a while in Detroit. People will say it. I'll guarantee
it. That's ridiculous because anybody who wanted it, their agent would provide. I mean, they all have these huge centers with NFL-level coaching, strength and conditioning coaching. Tom Shaw has a whole, and he used to work here or still has a relationship here. There's enough of these guys where if you wanted to do your job, you did your job, right?
Yeah. Mark Capello writes in, and Mark is the producer for the New England Patriots Radio Network. He says, Fred, I'm all for this new format for PFW on game days. The fact that I don't have to see Hart on the road just made this season much better.
Go vote for Mitt Romney somewhere.
All right, let's take a break here, and we'll be right back.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson here to tell you about the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit. The Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit is back and better than ever. Tuesday evening, August 23rd, will feature special appearances by Hall of Famers John Hanna, Andre Tippett, Gino Cappelletti, as well as current and former professional athletes and local celebrities at Gillette Stadium. The evening will feature comedy performances by headliners Lenny Clark, Paul D'Angelo, Paul Narduzzi, Steve Sweeney, and more. With live auctions, silent auctions, and nonstop laughter, this event is a fun evening you won't want to miss. All proceeds will benefit the Mosley Tatupa Memorial Scholarship Foundation, which provides college scholarships to young athletes with learning differences, exemplifying the outstanding qualities that characterize our dear friend Mosley Tatupa. Last year's event sold out quickly, so be sure to purchase your tickets today. Visit the Patriots.com website for more details and to purchase your tickets. I look forward to seeing you at the second annual Mosley Tatupa Comedy Benefit.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
We all know Paul Perillo isn't afraid of a microphone or a camera.
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
During the season, Paul can be seen on programs like BFW TV, Patriots All Access, Patriots Today, and Mohegan Sun Sports Tonight. He can also be heard daily on Patriots.com during PFW in Progress, or on 98.5 The Sports Hub during, well, any show that will take him.
I need more airtime. Make that clear.
And we thought Andy had a big head.
Maybe it'll be Patriots Today's Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, our version.
As long as Paul Perillo is involved in that version, I'm all for it.
Now, back to Paul Perillo and those other guys.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at Patriots.com is the email address. We're broadcasting live from the Subway Broadcast Fresh Studios. No, how is it? Subway
Fresh Broadcast Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios. Because this is fresh. It's fluid.
Fresh.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's Subway Fresh.
Let's go to the phones.
But we're fresh, too.
Brad from the Eastern Shore has been hanging on. Hey, Brad.
Hello, real men of Patriots football.
What's up?
Thing is, Eric's out gallivanting somewhere.
Right. He's on a walkabout.
Gallivanting is a good word when Eric is involved.
Or sachet.
I loved Andy's article. I had sent Paul an email about that very thing in the morning about I think we've got enough guys now to cover five teams worth of defensive linemen. And hopefully we'll find a couple of them that'll work. But
I'll give Brad props. He said that he heard that we signed Merlin Olsen. and then he corrected that by saying, oh, I forgot he died. Jack Youngblood.
So I was trying to come up with somebody we didn't sign. That was getting harder and harder. A couple things. On the offensive line, how have some of these undrafted free agents we brought in? I mean, I know for that one day, Haynesworth made mincemeat out of them, but I guess he's gone into seclusion. So how have they fared after that?
Who? The lower-level offensive line?
Yeah, like Austin Thomas and
Thomas Austin.
Unless it's an alphabetical roster. Then it's Austin Thomas.
It's Thomas Austin.
And he was getting some rotational reps yesterday, I believe, at both guard and tackle. Definitely the guard spots in the quote-unquote first group. That's what I was talking about a little earlier. They did a lot of rotating yesterday.
Yeah.
He's a guy that we've heard that they've liked his development. Maneri's the former lacrosse player, right? One of them's got a lacrosse background, I think.
I didn't know about a lacrosse
I believe background. So.
Maneri was
but
a tight end.
They're both developmental guys, and he seems to be at the head of that new class of developmental guys. Ornberger gets a lot of run, but I feel like he's just kind of is.
I think this is it for Ornberger.
Yeah.
I don't think he's looked very impressive in camp, and I don't think he's going to stick around.
And with Wendell out, the new guy, Chris Morris, got some reps.
Yeah, that might save Ornberger, is Wendell's injury, because at this point, we haven't even seen him on the field now for the for about a week, which
right.
tells me it's probably a little bit more serious than, you know, a guy pulled his hamstring is riding the bike. But Mark Lavoie is another guy who got some reps yesterday at both guard and tackle. I think Bill might be searching for guys with that versatility for backup spots. And I think Austin, I think Andy's right. You know, based on what people have told us during the course of the offseason, I think they feel pretty good about Austin's development.
Now, does Cannon, is he doing any of the walkthroughs with the team, or is he strictly just pedal biking and, you know?
Yeah, he's just watching.
Yeah, I mean, when they have a walkthrough, generally we're not really around. They haven't really done those walkthroughs on the field.
No, these have now become, you know, it's one practice
it's one
a
long
day,
practice.
It's 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know,
long.
2.5 hours.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know if they did, like, you know, early morning.
They might be, but it's not something that we're privy to.
Okay.
Except when we accidentally stumble into one in the tunnel on our way down to the radio show.
Like
but,
yesterday.
But officially, he's not what you would say practicing with the team.
No. Officially, he is on NFI.
NFI.
So does that mean he can't practice?
Correct. He has to come off that to actually participate in practice. He can go to walkthroughs, but he cannot practice.
So would he go from there right to PUP then?
No, NFI is like PUP.
Right.
It's just that it was a non-football injury.
Okay.
Same rules
but
apply.
But, yeah, he could be on the regular season version of that if he does nothing during camp. You have right. to put a guy on that
on
to
list.
Open camp yeah. to keep him eligible for it to open the season.
Right.
And as I told you a long time ago, I expected him to start the year on a list and then start in November. Woo!
Well, I'm hoping. I mean, I think it's nice. It's nice to have one of those big road grader type offensive lineman.
And he's a big one. He is definitely different than some of these other guys that are undersized technicians. He's a, I don't even know what he's listed at, but he's a big dude.
They list him at 350.
350,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's a big one. He'd be interesting to see him match up with Haynesworth and Will Fork at some point down the line.
Yeah. All right, the other question I had for you all today is wide receiver. Let's go on the assumption that Tate does not make the team. Does somebody like Darnell Jenkins slip in?
No.
There's no way.
I don't think so.
Or is it one of the other guys, or you think Tate will make it?
I think Tate will make it.
I think Tate will make it, and if he didn't, my guess would be that there would be one less than you would originally anticipate at that spot. I mean, I think there's five. I think you think they're going to keep five at minimum, right?
Right.
Probably six?
Bare minimum.
So you got the big three in Welker, Branch, and Ocho. Edelman right now has got to be considered in there, so that's four.
Right.
And you're talking about Price and Tate.
Right.
Now, I think they'll both make the team, but if it was only one, I think that you would keep five, and if Tate's the guy out, Price stays, Tate goes. I don't really see another, you know, Jeremy Ross is an undrafted guy who's had a couple of moments recently, but I don't think that he's ready to be an NFL player. Darnell Jenkins, I think, has had a terrible camp.
Okay, well, I was just
he's dropped a lot of passes during the course of the camp.
He's Tyree
Barnes,
Tyree Barnes,
Buddy
Farnham. I don't think they have an NFL receiver. Jenkins would be the closest thing based on his practice squad experience, but I don't think they have an NFL receiver in the waiting.
All right, thanks for the call, Brad. Let's go to the emails. Nick writes in, this is the first time I'm ever writing in. So hopefully it gets read. I have two questions. First, last week you were discussing players who would be in two teams' Hall of Fame. I know he isn't a player, but do you think that Bill Belichick would be considered for the Giants' Hall of Fame coach? And are there any other coaches who would be put into the Hall of Fame for multiple teams?
I don't think Bill
would. Do you think that the Giants would consider a defensive coordinator for their Hall of Fame?
No.
I don't want to speak for the Giants, but I don't want an assistant coach being in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I don't. No.
What about Dante?
I mean, it would have to be something.
That's a good point.
Dante can be in my Hall of Fame.
But Dante's been here for 20 years.
It would have to be something special like that, and like the guy from Pittsburgh.
Dick LeBeau?
No, who's the guy that's been that guy that they had forever? Didn't they have a long-time offensive line coach who was there for like 33 years or something like that? I don't remember his name. But
Gibbs?
I don't really like the idea of assistant coaches in the Hall of Fame.
I don't think
that's
Bill
just
would.
Me personally.
I think Dante here could be down the line if he puts in another 10 years or something. All of a sudden you say, wow, that guy was there for 30 years and he's a contributor.
Like Buck O'Kilroy was a guy that had been with the Patriots for a long, long time.
But in terms of NFL coaches who could be in both, I mean, Parcells. If you're going to put him in yours here, and
well,
he might
know,
be in the Giants.
Would Don Shula go into the Colts Hall of Fame?
I don't think Don Shula was
that good with the Colts.
Well, he was very good, but I don't think that he's thought of that highly. I think they felt like they always lost the big one under him.
All right.
So Parcells would be
Parcells, I mean.
I mean, you guys have
Parcells was nominated last year for the Patriots.
Right, so there's your
And he's got to be in the Giants if you have that.
Right.
I don't know.
Pete Carroll?
No.
Rich Kotite, both the Jets and the Eagles.
Secondly, I wanted to talk about plaques to the Jets. Do you think this move makes the receiving corps better or worse than it was with Edwards? I've actually been shocked with the amount of hype that he's gotten coming out of prison.
Me too.
I don't seem to remember him being as good as everyone seems he is now. I think that him replacing Edwards will actually be a downgrade for the Jets. It will be interesting to hear what you guys think.
I think I'm kind of with you, the emailer.
I don't think it really is. I think it's neat. I think it's just status quo. I think you have a tall outside receiver, either way, one who drops passes, but is probably a better deep threat in Edwards, and one who has better hands, but probably not the explosiveness that he once did in Burris. And I don't know. I don't know if you really gained or lost much of anything
there. I just think
there.
The risk of the prison thing. 2 years from now,
I might
feel exactly like you, but because I don't even know if he's
I don't
ready
know what
compete,
he is. I don't know what he is. You're right.
Because I don't love Edwards.
No,
he drops way too many balls.
I think
my
Edwards
life,
is stiff.
But
I mean,
he wasn't in prison last year. So I there's some.
I mean, Edwards made. I'll say this, you know, and to further back up the emailer and Andy's point, I don't think Edwards is a very good player, but he seemed to play well against the Patriots.
Right.
So I guess you look at it that way. He made some plays in week two, and he made a play, some big plays in the playoff game. He dragged, I know it was Merriweather, but he dragged Merriweather into the end zone for a big touchdown in the playoffs.
Plus,
so I guess he played pretty well for the
paid three
the
times
Jets.
As much, right?
Nick also
Burris
says
was $3 million, and Edwards got one from San Francisco.
Well, I don't know if Edwards would have signed a 1 year, $1 million deal for the Jets, though. Do you? Because I'm sure if you asked the Jets right now, would you take Braylon Edwards? Even right now, we got Mason, we got. I think they would take him for 1 year,
probably.
$1 million.
But I don't think paying $3 million for a guy right out of prison like Plaxico, I think that's overpaying.
Nick also says, Andy, you're slacking on Words with Friends. It's been your move for a while.
Yeah, well, camp has, you know, had me a little busy, and I have 27 games going on. Literally. No, literally. The other night, the little thing popped up. I had 20. It was my move in 27 games. Because all these people on PFW in Progress, they know my word,
you're
my
holding,
name.
You're holding up the world.
Well, I'll get to it. As soon as camp ends, I'll have a little more time. I already don't watch TV anymore. This takes my TV time away.
People are going to move on.
What takes TV time away?
Words with Friends.
What a loser.
Oh, sorry. Go watch your gay shows with Freddie Prinze Jr. Freddie Prinze Jr.
What are you talking
about? You used to watch a show that
Freddie
was as gay as gay could be.
It was just like Two and a Half Men.
Yeah, except no one watched it, so it wasn't.
But that doesn't mean it was gay.
It was gay.
You know what? That would be gay. It would be gay of him. Such a loser.
Is it getting hot in here again?
No, you're just yelling. That's why.
I'm sweating. Fred, are you?
I'm not quite sweating yet, but it's warm. It's warm. We got to do something about that.
It's like there's no airflow.
Yeah,
there's
no airflow.
There's
nothing coming out of these vents. Subway Fresh Studios are not so fresh?
Yeah. No, they're stagnant.
Dan writes in from York, Maine. He says, what do you think Mike Wright's role with this new Patriots defense will be? Is he fully recovered from his concussion?
I don't know.
Haven't seen him in... Four practices? Three practices?
A while, yeah. He's on the Haynes.
I'm a little concerned about Mike Wright. Haven't seen him on the field in a while.
Now, I think his role, I think he would have a role in this defense as both an inside and outside kind of guy. If you want to go heavy, I think he's your end. If you want to sub-rush inside, sub-guy. All that,
yep.
I think he'd have a nice role. But if he's not healthy, then he won't.
Here's one I'll throw out. Will there be a double-digit sack person on the Patriots this year?
No.
I'm going to say yes.
Who?
Just don't ask me who.
Yeah, right. Who?
Well, if you're going to say yes, you got to give me a candidate.
No, not necessarily.
Yes, you do. It's my rules.
Why are you going to get all mad?
Who?
I don't know.
Why do you think no, Andy?
Because I think there's a lot of guys that could be fine and contribute. I don't think there's any guy.
Will they have more than 36 sacks that they had last year?
Yes.
I think they will.
In a group number. And they will have a higher leader than the 5.5 for Wright last year.
Yeah.
But I don't think they'll be double digits. Although maybe Carter. You say Carter?
Andre Carter, okay? I'll give you that one.
I give him the name. And Andre Carter!
There you go. Paul, no, I think they will have a guy with 10 sacks. I don't know who it'll be.
Eric Moore?
It won't be Eric Moore.
Who's the next likely candidate after Andre Carter?
I don't know if he's the most likely candidate, so.
Okay, give me another candidate then. Or should I give you another one and you'll say, yes, that person?
Well, what about Ellis?
I'd be stunned.
Yeah.
If we turn back the clock 7 years. Did you see that Mangini said they used him at linebacker some? He's a big linebacker.
Look, if Haynesworth plays, I think any of these guys have the potential to get double-digit sacks that are on the
Paul's
outside.
Paul's going to jump on you. Paul's going to pounce. Go, Paul. Go, 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 go.
If Haynesworth,
I don't want anybody
Wilford
to call me an a-hole for getting
an
argument.
Wreaking havoc in the middle, that's, somebody's going to do something with that.
Well, maybe.
I mean, that's the whole idea, isn't it?
I just think we put an awful lot of stock into one guy. That's all.
I said if.
If he plays.
Right.
Yes, if he plays. I don't.
And if he plays, I'm assuming that he's earned the reps. They're not just throwing him out there.
Yeah, and I think that we're putting a lot of stock into one guy.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to play full time. Even if he plays 16 games,
I don't think
he's going to play full time.
No, but I think.
So I don't think his presence is going to lead to greatness for other guys.
I think it's going to. Will they be improved on third down? Absolutely, right?
Can't be worse. They're 32nd last year. Yes, they will improve.
Could be a push.
Paul in London, hope all is well in the PFW universe. We're struggling with riots in London over nothing.
I saw that.
I've seen that it's been on CNN and Fox
really
News.
Escalated.
No, it did. Did you see like those buildings burning?
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
And you've probably seen the burning buildings and smashed windows. Anyway, I've got a few players I'd like to hear your training camp observations for. Sergio Brown.
He's doing the same thing
Solid.
He does. He makes plays. He's
Solid.
Had some interceptions. He's around the ball. He's more than Eric thought he was just a kick coverage guy. He can be a reserve, fifth safety type.
He's got a shot to stick around. I think he's been solid.
I think we've talked about all these guys in his list except for one, Ninkovich. What would you?
I haven't seen him do much except long snap. He is in the outside linebacker role in the four-man fronts primarily, and I've seen him get killed a few times against the run, especially in the interior drills, and he just hasn't done a whole hell of a lot. Other than long snap, which is making him worth his weight in gold.
According to Scotty O.
Which isn't true, because as our football thing you don't care about will tell you, if he was worth his weight in gold, he'd be making like $8 million this year, because 253 pounds of gold is worth a lot of money.
All right. Now, at this time, I want to talk about something that we're going to be doing on the pregame social, actually, Andy and Paul will be doing. We've got a new sponsor called FanTab, and what FanTab does is it tracks fan sentiment. And on the line right now, we have Rob from FanTab, who I want to talk about it with him, and he can explain a little bit better than I can, obviously, what FanTab does and how we're going to use it. Rob, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys.
Rob, what's your last name? I'm sorry.
Wrestler.
Rob Wrestler, and you're from FanTab.com, FANTAB.com. Rob, tell us a little bit about FanTab.
Sure. So FanTab is a site we built for sports fans, really of any sport. When you think about your teams, you've often got lots of passion and confidence. Kind of, are you feeling good about your team, feeling bad about your team? We wanted to build something that was very simple for people to rate their teams and express their confidence. So FanTab's built on a simple scale of 1 to 100. Come in and rate your team, and then we're going to track that rating from you and all the fans for that team, just like you track a stock index. So as the confidence of the fan base rises and falls throughout the season, we'll be tracking that all season long.
Now, Standard & Poor's isn't involved in this at all, right?
No,
okay,
absolutely
good.
Not. We have a AAA rating as of now. We intend to keep it that way.
Okay, so give us a little bit about the experience that people will have when they go to FanTab. Do they create an account? How does it work?
Yeah, it's very easy. If you've got a Facebook or a Twitter account, you can use those credentials to log right in. If not, just set up a simple account. And it's really based on your passion for one team. So you can pick one team in the NFL. And everyone listening to this ought to be picking the Pats, of course. But you go in and
except
you
Paul.
Pledge your... Sorry, go ahead.
Except for Paul. He doesn't like the Patriots.
Don't listen to him, Rob.
That's right. That's right. So come on in. You pledge your allegiance to that team. And after you register, you slide the slider from 1 to 100 based on how you're feeling about your team. Now, the key thing to remember here is this isn't about your passion. We all know that everyone is a truly passionate fan. It's more about your confidence level and how the team's going to do. So it's basically trying to put a number against all these conversations that you guys are having right now, that we're having, you know, around the water cooler, everywhere else, around how you think your team is going
to
do.
Now, Rob, do you caution fans to take a deep breath before they make their rating, or do you want them to react, boom, immediately, they made this move, it sucks, they're going to stink this year, give them a one?
You know, I think it's entirely up to them how they want to rate. We do have a few cautions in there in terms of, you know, if you come in and you rate to 100, you're obviously just waving a pom-pom, and we don't really want any of that. So,
well, that's our boss, Fred Kirsch, but right. That's a different story.
Right. I think I rated the Patriots at a 97.
But, you know, if you really feel strongly that they have no chance of winning a game or winning the season, and one is where you're going to put them at it, then far be it from us to tell you how to rate them in that way.
And then in addition to being able to rate around each team, there's a little bit of a community, so you can go in and trash talk with people or give...
Absolutely, yeah. We refer to trash talkers as hecklers out there. So you can't go in and rate the Jets and, you know, influence their index. You know, only the Jets or fans are in there rating that team. But you can certainly go in and heckle them to no end. Another nice feature about the community is the fact that you can go in and, you know, just like a lot of other communities out there, you can choose who you want to follow, the voices you want to listen to. So, you know, if you want to filter out certain voices, people you don't like to listen to, you can do that,
Fred.
And listen just the ones that you want to follow.
So, Rob, what we were thinking of doing throughout the course of the pregame social is at various times during the show, we're going to check in with FanTab. And let's just say that the inactives have just come out. We're going to go.
Tom Brady's on it.
Yeah, we're going to check in with FanTab and see how that fan sentiment has changed as we learn, you know, different things leading into the game.
Right.
So what I'm saying this for is I think all our listeners should go at some point before Thursday's game, certainly before the regular season opener, and register with FanTab so that you can be part of that, so that when we go and check, you know, the sentiment for the Patriots, your sentiment has been registered in there.
You're singing my song. Yeah, absolutely. It's very easy. FanTab.com/Patriots. Become a fan. It's very easy. Click on the big Become a Fan button, and away you go.
Now, Rob, as you expand, I have an idea. We bring it sure. down to the player level.
You know, we've already talked about that.
Yes, so. Do it. I want to be able to go rip people I hate and prop up people that I love.
Absolutely. So, you know, you walk a little bit before you can run, and we start at the team level, but we absolutely have plans to take it down to the player level.
Taylor
well.
Price for the Patriots. Make him 100.
That's not just a pom-pom, is it?
No, I'm telling you. You watch. He's going to help the Patriots' rating soar during the course of this season. Forget about Ocho. Taylor Price is the receiver to watch.
Okay.
All right. Well, Rob, we appreciate you calling in. And, you know, if you're listening during the pregame social and you hear, you know, because all the Patriots fans are obviously going to be around that Patriots community, but if you hear of some seismic shifts going on elsewhere in the NFL, please call in. We'll make sure that our producer gets you right in there and let us know what's going on.
Absolutely, we'll do. And if Brady does hit that injured reserve list, I probably won't be able to call in because my servers will be smoking.
Right. All right. Rob, All right, thanks
guys.
For calling in.
Thanks so much.
All right. That's Rob from FanTab, new sponsor of the show. So support FanTab.com.
Go sign up. It's
just
free.
Sign up. You have a Twitter account or a Facebook
account. Don't cost
account.
Nothing.
That's true. You don't even have to give right. them anything if you have your Twitter and Facebook, and we know you all do.
It's absolutely free. Just go in and be part of the rating community. You know, have your rate be heard.
Can I ask a question?
When I was 14.
And this is not meant to be offensive to Rob Grappler in any way. How come all you techie people, when someone asks you a question, you start with, so? All you geeks do it. All you geeks. Geeks here at the stadium, geeks from the NFL that
told us.
I'm
glad it wasn't meant to be offensive.
No, I mean.
All you geeks do it.
Well, you know what? Mark Zuckerberg's a geek and he's a $1 billion geek. In this world, geeks are getting, you know, a good name for themselves. But every sentence starts with so when they started.
I think it's a legitimate question, and I think it can come off a little condescending.
Yes, I don't care for it.
You know, because I think a lot of times people that you're talking about, whether you want to call them geeks or tech people or whatever, they find themselves having to explain something to someone who isn't as versed as them.
As geeky.
And so they use that word so as sort of to set the stage that I'm going to start doing, you know.
You're right, because I find it both annoying and condescending.
No, I hear that. Not that Rob was trying to be that
no,
way.
No, no, no. Yeah. And it becomes, I think, just part of what they do. I'm sure he has done thousands of these presentations on his company.
Right.
Right? So he just falls into the habit, and that's what he says. That's how he starts it.
Right.
But again, when NFL.com came here and we had that big thing to learn how to use every question, they so okay,
right? You don't like that?
No, I don't.
All right, Fantab.com. Go register, be part of the community, and we're gonna use them for the pregame social to kind of gauge what the Patriots' sentiment is going into the game.
I'm really excited about the player part.
We should probably mark that down, like. You should end each show and kind of like where we ended the show, see what the overall community and see how that changes over
week
the course
week.
Of the year.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
couple of tidbits to pass along.
Okay.
Evidently, Bill Belichick at his press conference said that Haynesworth is day-to-day, and he hopes to see him out on the field in a day or two. Day or days, I believe, is how he referred to that. Said he's doing well and is getting some treatment. Hopefully he'll be out in a day or a matter of days was the direct quote. Also, those that have been out there for practice are reporting that Dan Connolly is not suited up. We saw him get looked like an elbow injury yesterday.
Right.
And he left practice a little bit early. Well, he left the drills a little bit early. He stayed out there, but did not participate. So
what about 8-7 and 7-0?
No word on them as of yet.
Okay, but I think it's safe to say that we won't see Haynesworth in this preseason game.
I would say, yeah.
I would say that that's accurate.
Unless he wants to.
Bill also said that if they haven't practiced at all to this point, you know, very unlikely. So guys like Light and Falk and whoever else, Ron Brace, I guess, you know, I wouldn't expect to see any of them.
Dave in North Park
writes. Jimmy could. He practiced that one day, right?
Yeah. Dave in North Park writes in, how short is Eric? He asks. I watched the Hoyer interview in which the camera was positioned above Brian, angled down. It looked as though Negativino, who was on the other side of Hoyer, was sitting Indian style on the ground. I initially thought a kid had made his way through the barrier and was waiting for an autograph. Perhaps PFW can splurge a little and buy him some lifts for his shoes.
He's not that much shorter than any of us, and Fred's shorter than him, I think.
But he's small.
He is. He's frail.
Well,
he doesn't look like
frail.
He's
not frail.
Frail. Look at him.
Eric?
He's not frail.
I think you look up the word frail in the dictionary, and he's there.
Frail is you touch him and he falls apart.
He's a frail man.
Sitting in an Indian position.
I think he works out. He swims.
He's frail.
He's lean.
He's frail.
He's not frail.
He's frail.
Frail is
I think
like
Ray Ray
Ill.
Could kick his ass.
Frail is ill. He's not
no,
ill.
No, frail is not ill. Darius Butler is a frail cornerback.
No.
Yes.
Frail is like. Well, I don't want to get into a whole thing about what frail is.
I love it. I couldn't get him to go.
And that's how it works.
And you're not supposed to say Indian style. That's inappropriate.
That's what the emailer said.
I know, but it's inappropriate.
Yoga style?
Well, my son learns crisscross applesauce. I think there's various versions that are taught in preschools, but Indian style is not politically correct.
Okay. Ryan writes in, podcast freeloaders in the newspaper, he titles it. Anyone who listens to this podcast and does not subscribe to the newspaper that makes the podcast possible is scum and deserves to rot in hell.
Yes, I agree.
I wouldn't be that strong about it, but I get his idea.
Who was that?
Somebody. I don't know.
Sorry. Didn't mean to ask. I thought you just read it 2 seconds ago.
And I just deleted it. My short-term memory is shot.
Short, long, your whole memory
Larry
is shot.
Larry wants to know, are you going to have a show on Thursday? If not, when there are Thursday games, can you have a Friday show? That would be great. We will not have a show Thursday. We'll have the pregame social instead.
So join us. Who's this? Fred, Ted, whatever.
Larry.
Larry.
I think 5:15 is when the pregame social, Eastern time, 5:15 is when it's going to start.
Yes. So join us.
on Facebook, on your phone, your app. I highly recommend the iPhone version. You put it on your counter in your kitchen. You listen to the whole show. It sounds great. I've done it during the summer of Andy when I wasn't on the show.
Josh is upset at Paul in London who said they're rioting over nothing. He says, over nothing? Weren't they rioting over the police shooting and killing someone who didn't deserve it? That really sounds like nothing to me, you idiot. I love
just,
it.
Just to reiterate, that's Paul in London, not me.
I thought he was going after you.
The emailer on emailer crime.
I know nothing about the riots in London.
Well, I know they shot a guy.
I'm not trivializing them in any way.
He had four children, but for all I know, he was a gangster. I mean, who knows? I don't know the details of it.
WBD says, I can't wait to hear your opinions on the new D lineman. I'm pretty excited. Andre Carter could be a huge addition this year, and I love Sean Ellis because it makes the Jets-Pats rivalry that much better. Anderson is iffy to me. He could be a good rotational player, but he might be one of those guys who got more than 10 sacks but is not a 10-sack guy.
No question.
Like Tully. Plus, I've heard that he's not a great run stuffer. What do you guys think? Or am I as clueless as Brad from Maryland?
No, you're not as clueless as Brad from Maryland.
Now leave Brad from Maryland. No,
those
he's
guys,
not a run player, and we already
those
see
guys
him get
aren't
killed.
Run. Carter and Anderson, they're not going to be.
But he's not even competitive. I mean, I've only seen him a couple times, and he gets bent over.
Rob Gronkowski absolutely killed him the other day, coming around a sweep with Benny behind him. I would be surprised to see all of those guys make the team, to be honest with you. I would put Carter and Ellis, you know, in the much safer category than Anderson. But whatever that group is that you want to consider, they're not all going to make the team. Some of those guys that they signed are not going to be here. It's just not enough spots.
You can't have it. Brooklyn Matt says, Andy, when I heard Eric call you out for your misuse of less when fewer was in order, I jumped around my apartment for joy. Yeah, but then I heard you lash out and tear into him with some Andy tirade about his misuse of an apostrophe.
And
hey,
commas.
Andy, just for the record, you're not knowing the less versus fewer grammatical rule is way worse than Eric snootily insisting on an apostrophe and settle down too many
no,
5-hour energies today.
Misspeaking on the radio when you're just flying a mile a minute is not worse than something you have done every story you have written for 5 years because you're a pompous ass.
I have to admit that is very stubborn.
Yes.
Yeah.
It to me is a fireable effect.
Fred, you don't even see them.
And it also creates work.
Right. You don't see them.
For a coworker. It creates work.
I think it's a fireable offense, personally.
Okay. I fire people for less.
Have you? No, you haven't.
Sure I have.
You fired like one guy in your whole
life. Because the website went down during the Super Bowl.
Not
yeah,
less.
Yeah, that's less than a comma.
Not less.
That wasn't his fault, really.
Wait. You reached a mutual decision.
Rick from the Netherlands, I have a question about the quarterback position. Looking at the second and third, now, do you guys see a future first quarterback in them or just a good second and third? And looking at veterans' trades, I think Bill is going for that Super Bowl this year instead of investing in rookies and younger guys for the future. Can Hoyer or Mallett be a future number one quarterback in this league?
I don't know.
Okay, and thanks for the insight.
I think Mallett obviously has the physical skills. I've never seen him play. So
as of right now,
say.
He looks like Rohan Davey. He pulls the ball down
ball
and
comes
can't
down,
find a receiver.
And I wrote that yesterday in the blog. Yeah. The ball comes down way too often. But physically, in terms of being able to make throws, yeah, he looks like a number one quarterback to me. And Hoyer looks like a guy that you might cross your fingers and hope that you can get by without the quarterback having to make a lot of plays. If you can get the game played the way you want it to be played, and he can go out there and manage things, and you can keep him out of third and long and keep him out of having to come from behind, he could be a fine quarterback for you. I don't think he'll be a quote-unquote franchise-type guy the way that we think of franchise
He's a college quarterback. He can throw the deep ball because anybody can throw the deep ball, and he can throw screens and bubble screens.
And he's smart.
But he can't make a regular throw in the middle of the field. Those intermediate throws, he just can't. When a guy runs a 15-yard out, he has to wait, and then the ball gets there.
He made an incredible throw yesterday, I thought, in the end zone right in front of us, Andy, where he kind of lofted over
a
couple of
touch.
Yeah, beautiful touch. Let the receiver clear traffic.
Edelman,
I forget who it was. Was it Edelman?
I think so.
In the back corner of the end zone, let the defenders go. But I looked at Eric. I said, well, I'll tell you, that's a great throw. But if he can't make that throw, then he doesn't belong on the field because he can't make the other ones either. So that's he has to have the accuracy on that touch, kind of like Chad Pennington after all the shoulder injuries.
Right.
You can get by with with that. I'm not saying that Hoyer can't be a number one. I think he can. I just don't think he's the guy that you would want to center your offense around.
If you had to make a gut reaction to Mallett, would you say yes or no?
Right now, I would say yes. But
I would say no.
I'm less confident in that than I was before I saw him on the practice field.
Me too, and that's why I say no. I worry about the guys that just seem to pull the ball down all the time.
I know. I got to give him a little time, Andy. He had no.
Me too. I just asked for a gut reaction.
He had no training. Well, that's why I said yes, because he had no training. He had no training heading into camp. He had no, you know, knowledge of the playbook.
But he
really
comes from a pretty good offense. He's not like Taylor Price. Oh, he came from that lame Ohio offense. I mean, the Bobby Petrino offense is a pretty.
It's a pro style offense.
Yeah.
I agree.
So it's not like you.
The only thing is
I'm
those
concerned.
Quarterbacks that Petrino had at Louisville, none of them panned out.
Right.
So maybe it's not as, you know, pro-ready an offense as people lead you to believe.
Oh, where's Eric? It's not leaded, it's led. It's not leaded. Brooklyn Matt, hop around your apartment.
I didn't say leaded. I said lead you to believe.
Well, I thought you said leaded. Whatever, he misspoke.
I didn't say leaded. That's not a word.
I think you said leaded.
I didn't.
Josh from Waterloo. Hey, Patriots training camp sideline reporters and Eric. Most people have a favorite player from the team they root for, mine being Big Vince. But now I have a least favorite player, Albert Haynesworth. It's not because he gives up on his team, not because he rips off the helmet of an opposing player then stomps in his head, not because he is crazy, because he doesn't give all his all on every play. I hate him because he is the reason for the high motor debate. Damn you, Bert. Damn you to hell.
It's true.
He's the reason. Actually, Paul's the reason. Iggy from Madrid writes in, hey, gentlemen, and Ray Ray.
Whoa. I thought I was your amigo with Gran Cabeza.
Why do you keep saying that so creepy?
Because he's a creepy old man.
No, I mean, people like calling her Ray Ray.
No, I know,
but they don't have to say it like that.
And Ray Ray.
You know, it's Fred, Andy, Paul, and Ray Ray.
Put
why do
your
you
hands
say
together
Ray Ray?
For
what?
Ray Ray, oh, center stage.
Look, if I can
what happens with Pac-Man? Are you going to make it rain with Ray Ray on the stage?
If I can give another reason for hot-blooded males to listen to the show, I'm going to give them that reason.
Okay.
Fred.
What?
I like that how you say my name.
All right. Oh,
I
all right.
I approve.
Now I'm uncomfortable. You're making me uncomfortable.
And HR is on line one.
Paul, you just want him to say your name like that.
Not so much.
I think what we should do, a lot of people have said, like, you know, why don't you guys have cameras and everything? I think for this show, we should just, when Ray Ray's here, have a camera on
her. Yes, ISO.
And we
ISO shots.
Talk, especially
that
what you're wearing
creepy.
Today.
So
she goes, that would be creepy.
No, it is so hot in here.
It really is.
It's getting hotter.
Can you tell Kevin?
It's getting hotter.
All right, listen. HR is on line one. Stop.
No, really, though. Can you tell Kevin about that? Because I don't think there's anything, like, coming out of these vents or anything.
Yeah, to get it, like,
there's no circulation.
Yeah,
something. Yeah, I'll let him know. I'll make him do it.
I'll
tell.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Especially what you're wearing today.
You're almost 50
that
years
would look
old.
Good on my bedroom floor.
No, like I'm trying to paint a picture for our listeners.
We're spiraling out of control.
He started it.
When I come in wearing something crazy, you tell me. Not that she's wearing anything crazy, but, you know, we do comment on each other's wardrobe.
She's a girl in training camp. She has a black tank top on. If you can't control yourself, you're in trouble.
Thank you, Andy. I was just going to clarify for everyone who's listening.
Yes, it's not like she's slutted it up.
I'm not in like a...
Her bleep me boots.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so that's not a G-string that you're wearing? Okay, now we're all we all understand now. Seriously.
What?
Have you never seen a pretty girl before? Grow up.
In a G-string? You know, when Eric's here, we comment on his sweater.
Yeah, but you don't go, Eric's got a sweater on. Look at those sweater puppies.
Did I say that?
What is
wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Iggy from Madrid. Hey, gentlemen.
I'm ashamed of this whole show.
Thank you for keeping us all in football mode during the lockout.
Oh, is that what we're doing?
I saw last Saturday the Hall of Fame ceremony. Amazing, Shannon Sharp. I agree. And that made me think about future Hall of Famers. Who has the potential to be the Hall of Famer from the Patriots roster besides Brady? I would only say Mankins, but what about Gronkowski and Vollmer? I know at this moment this is pure football science fiction, but I believe both have huge upside.
Gronkowski. But he will never achieve it.
I think Gronkowski certainly.
I think he likes to have too much fun.
You put together 8 to 10 seasons like he had his rookie year.
If he has 100 touchdowns, I think he's going to the Hall.
Unbelievable.
But seriously, I think he's not going to live up to his potential. I think he's going to become a marketing guy. I think he's going to go down the Ocho road.
That could
I think
happen.
Even at the crowd, I know we love it and it's fun.
but he runs over, he's high-fiving people. I think he's more into the WWE showmanship of being a professional athlete.
I think he is, but I think part of that, you didn't see him do that last year. Part of that this year is, it's like I said, it's kind of easy for him against these guys.
I know, but it never gets easy. The guys who last forever are the guys who continue
to work.
He's
able to do what he has to do and still have fun.
I know, and I'm torn because I think he has Brady-like competitiveness in all the stupid little, I'm going to do one more rep than Dane Fletcher when we go to the gym today. And I think that's great, but I also think he really likes to have a good time.
That's my concern. Yeah. Yes.
Well, off and, but I'm not even talking about partying. I think he could get caught up in, I'm going to this part. Rob Gronkowski and they invited me to the Emmys and I'm going, and I'm Rob Gronkowski and they invited me to this and that, and all of a sudden football becomes secondary.
And if this whole, like, it's too easy for him right now, then if that's the case, then he could put a little more effort and actually get open so he doesn't have to wrestle the ball away from the defenders. He catches everything.
I took an ugly turn.
No, well, I'm saying, I mean, if
he just became Bill Belichick.
That was intentional. I'm trying to point out the fact that if the guy is really thinking it's too easy for him, then you would expect him to be in the clear when he's making these catches. He hasn't been.
Most of the time he is.
Well, no, I don't think he has been.
And he's never going to be because he doesn't have elite quickness and speed.
Well, no, but
that's his downside.
But he's
there.
Able to get the step.
He's
and
able
the
to catch the ball because he's an elite athlete. He's unbelievable strong hands.
He's nowhere near the athlete Ben Watson was, but if you put his hands on Ben Watson or athleticism on Gronkowski, but that's why you don't have the perfect player.
And I think that, you know, this doesn't happen for everybody that has this situation, but I think having all those brothers and growing up every day competing in something, you see that now in practice.
Yeah. That's what I said. I think he has a true competitive streak. But he also likes Gronk.com and the rap and this and the that.
I think he's got a chance, and I would fear that the off-field stuff derails him a little bit. Devin McCourty, I think, based on 1 year only.
Natural. He's a natural.
I think he's a terrific player.
Yeah, but we got to pump the brakes on 1 year.
Yeah.
Remember when we used
to
say,
to.
You know, I think Eugene Wilson is 2 years into a potential.
Well,
I
don't know say if that was, about all these.
We said it on the show.
That
I
he was
remember.
A Hall of Fame player?
We had this exact same
conversation. Eugene Wilson?
Yes, we had this exact same conversation.
Maybe about Pro Bowls.
And in his second season said, you know, it's way too early, but if you're going to go to the young players, Eugene Wilson.
Who said that?
All of us.
I mean, did?
I'll be guilty as
go
charged
find the
if shows. I said it.
Whatever,
I don't remember.
2004 or whatever season that was.
Geno Wilson?
I will say the other guy that was mentioned.
Eugene Wilson.
Vollmer as a right tackle, I think that's virtually impossible.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's tough.
You
know,
you gotta be so special.
Right.
Taylor Price.
He's a right tackle. I mean, I'm not trying to denigrate him. He's been a right tackle.
Right.
He's been fine.
Right.
I haven't seen anything that's been eye-popping.
No.
Are there any right tackles in the Hall of Fame?
There must be one, but
no.
Are you sure?
I would think there are, but my point is there anything that you've seen from Vollmer that you look at that and you say there's a noticeable difference between him and what they've had,
and
or Matt Light?
Early last year, he was not very good.
When
John Hanna came into the league, there was no doubt, even from his first couple years, that this guy, he's special.
Right.
You're not seeing. I mean, Vollmer's okay. He's good.
If he were special, he'd be a left tackle, I think.
That there's a case to be made for that, too.
I just don't know if there are actually any pure right tackles in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I'll have to look that up.
I don't know how I would do that.
I'm so glad Belichick listened and improved our D by picking up a whole bunch of pass rushers, including former Jets Sean Ellis, who was a really good one. I believe with these new additions, our D can become an elite one. Lee Bodden coming back will free up McCourty to return kicks and punts and give Brady a better field position. I know Edelman...
What was that?
McCourty's not going to return punts and kicks.
He's not going to do that. I know Edelman and Tate both had a TD last year on special teams, but it's better to have someone that can bring the ball to the 40-yard line on a consistent basis.
Tate,
why do we think McCourty's going to do that?
Tate, by the way, returned two kicks with touchdowns, did he not?
Yes, early.
They were both early. I'm not in love with him as a kick returner, but I just felt, you know, to defend him, he did return two for touchdowns.
But I don't know where the McCourty thing's coming from.
McCourty, he's your number one corner. Lee Bodden is number two.
McCourty's good on special teams, but not as a returner, right? I mean,
I don't know if McCourty will play a whole lot
anymore
on special teams. I mean, he might, but I think his special teams work sort of declined as the season went on last year, didn't it?
As it should.
The Jets drafted Jeremy Curley, which is going to be better than Edelman and Tate. Don't you think that the special team should be our next concern? And is Pete Shepard going to return this year? Yes, he is. He's going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. His show is going to be his 4 to 6.
Expanded.
3 days a week.
Much like his waist.
He wants to know if he'll, have a more humble attitude. I doubt it.
No, that's not Pete.
Yeah, we don't want Pete to be humble. Also, where can I watch all the preseason games live? Can you guys also take a moment to give us your prediction record for this year? I'm shooting for 12-4 because of our difficult schedule and for an undefeated home streak again. The effing Jets have a ridiculously easy schedule, but after the last two debacles versus the Ravens and Jets at home, maybe it will be better and more humbling to play our playoff games on the road. Paul gets a kick out of that.
I get a kick out of 12-4 because it's a ridiculously hard schedule.
Well, and we're ridiculously good.
That's fine, but basically he said, there's no way we should lose a game, but because our schedule is so hard, I'm going to factor in 4 losses.
I get 11-5.
11-5. I'm going to hold on mine. I'm going to put mine in PFW.
I'm going to say 11-5 now, but I want to see this play out. Right. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. And I have heard
December.
A lot. I have heard a lot of stuff. No, before the season, Fred.
Okay.
I've heard a lot of stuff about Curley, and I really liked him at TCU. I thought he was their only real NFL caliber player on offense, and that includes the quarterback, by the way.
Who's going to start for the Bengals?
Yeah.
Let's see. Dan writes in wondering how the running backs have looked this camp. The day I was there, I recall seeing more Ocho Cinco drops than running drills. Also, has Shane Vereen come back from his hamstring, and if not, is he a possible IR with all the running backs on the roster?
Sure. He has not come back from his hamstring, but I don't know if it's serious enough to land him on IR. We'll see. As Fred would say.
I have no idea how the running backs are going to be, really. I mean, Ridley's looked okay, but again, they're not hitting at full speed, so there's no way to know.
Ridley's been inconsistent. I guess that's to be expected of a rookie.
Falk hasn't been
Benny,
out there.
Benny's been okay.
Yeah, Benny's looked good.
After a slow start because he missed a lot of days while he waited for the new league year. But it's one of the hardest things to evaluate, the running game and training camp, I would say. Don't you think, Andy? No full tackling and whatnot. It's kind of hard to evaluate the running backs.
Oh, yeah. And that's when you start to get a feel for it in the preseason games. I'm sorry, I have to answer a text from my wife. Do you know where Sydney's pony jammy pants are?
Darth Vader writes in. And he says, thanks for distracting
Parcells?
Me at work. With the apparent transition to 4-3 and our recent additions at the D-line, are you guys feeling any better about the outside linebacker situation? Or are we still missing that key piece to the pass rush? And not sure if you saw it, but NFL.com is debating whether or not Miami should try and get Tebow now that Orton is starting in Denver. Must be a slow news day, but being that they're in the division, would you be happy or sad to see him move to the Finns?
Absolutely ecstatic.
Anytime the other team has a fullback playing quarterback, I think you have a good chance to win.
Yeah, and I don't think he's very good.
You may crucify me for this, but I wouldn't have minded seeing him land in New England last year in a much later round as a backup for Brady and goal line wildcat options.
If you want to use him as some jack of all trades, fine. He's not a quarterback. He just isn't.
Yeah. See, I disagree.
Well, and I also would say
he's not a traditional quarterback, but I think a team gives him a chance. He'll
in a traditional sense, if you want your quarterback to be able to run an offense and throw the football, he is not that.
I think he can do that.
No, he can't. It's being proven.
Well, he certainly didn't do it last year. And now this is another coaching staff that's not convinced he can
how
do
did
it.
How did he fail last year?
His plays were terrible. The same as college. He pulled the ball down and turned into a jack.
And did all right.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Let's see. Josh thinks that Dan Dierdorf was a Hall of Fame right tackle.
He's definitely a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
So, could be. Absolutely.
I think we could just Google Hall of Fame right tackles and it'll probably give you that.
I think they only list tackles if you go to the official site.
I think you'd have to know. I mean, personally, I don't know if Dan Dierdorf played left or right tackle.
You didn't see him play?
Yeah, I probably did, but I don't know if he was left or right tackle. I was a little kid.
Fred?
Dan Dierdorf.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't really even think of linemen in terms of left or right and the importance of one over the other until I started working here.
I just remember as a kid seeing linemen being carted off and thinking, oh, will this hurt us? And it never did. And this is back when I was not watching the, you know.
and nothing has changed.
Right.
Because they're all interchangeable.
Right. Right.
I mean, there's a handful of truly elite guys like Logan Mankins. And even when he was out, you went 8-1.
Right.
But what else? 7-1, whatever it was. I mean, I just think
No respect. I know.
If you have the quarterback, the receivers, the running backs,
right.
someone up there will block them well. I mean, unless you're truly wretched, like Pittsburgh was last year. That was the undoing of that offense last year because they were so bad. They had so many injuries. They had injuries to bad guys to begin with, and then the backups were even worse than those guys.
Right.
Eventually, you know.
Yeah, but the eventual was the
in the
Super Bowl.
Right. Which tells you
so
just how meaningless
really
it is.
Yeah. Kind of proves your point.
We'll end the show with Paul's email. He says, I'm going to give you guys a compliment. I would describe your show as Seinfeld-like, a show about nothing.
Oh, yeah.
But don't get too swell-headed because the last 2 years of Seinfeld weren't that great.
I thought we had a good show.
Seinfeld?
I'm having trouble speaking. I don't know. Anyway, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW Seinfeld. In Progress. Again, Thursday, there is no show at noon, but there is the first pregame social. So tune in, Patriots.com. You'll see the link there at 5:15 Eastern Time is when the show starts. And they'll have Vito Stellino from Jacksonville Jaguars beat writer and a bunch of other stuff. So check it out. Really excited about it. They'll talk to you on Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.